you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
My name is Betty, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
This is Robert, the angry mailman for the Don's and Mike Show.
We're just having a great time. It's Ask the Program Director. I am Phil Boyce, the PD here of WABC, wrapping up. We've got about 2.5 minutes left. I'm going to try to get to as many of you as I can who have been holding. Let's go to Bob in Manhattan. Bob, what is your question?
Phil Boyce, first I want to apologize for all the whiners you've had to listen to, and I just want to say you've done an amazing job for an amazing number of years.
Thanks, Bob.
And I have very few complaints.
Thank you.
Except for the fact that you really should have Don and Mike on your radio station.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
You're talking about Don Geronimo?
That's right.
The guys from JFK in Washington, D.C.?
Radio gods.
Okay, I appreciate that, and we'll do our best to get them on. You know, you get all kinds. But you know what? It's okay. They're actually pretty good hosts. I appreciate very much the opportunity to answer questions for you guys. We'll be back next time. Next year. We'll do it again.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That gig we had scheduled at WABC up in New York.
Yeah,
and now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Here's Don and Mike.
There you go.
You're about to MC.
Thank you. I figured it out. Howdy, everybody. Don and Mike show. It's a Thursday, and our phone number is 877-365-3636.
Yep.
Ah. We start today with some disco, or as they say in Rhode Island, some Ditto, and Casey and the Shoeshine Band. I'm sure everybody wants to talk today about...
I have written to you about
that. The situation in Iraq is unacceptable to...
this guy, right?
The situation in Iraq is unacceptable to...
And we'll get to that.
It wasn't a State of the Union speech. It was a State of the War speech. Well, I pride myself on keeping up with all the news events of the day, and I'm happy to say I didn't see a syllable of it.
There was something more important, though, Mike, than this.
What? The situation in Iraq is unacceptable to me.
There was a State of the Station meeting today.
Yes, there was.
As you know, we do the radio show here from D.C., and our home station is 106.7 WJFK.
I did not hear a syllable of it.
We've been on this station 17 years now.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sorry to point that out, but it's fact, Jack.
Is that why my beard 16. Is white now? Is that why my beard looks like Santa Claus?
16, maybe. 16 going on 17. You know the way Buzz likes his women.
I don't want to get old. I saw Peter O'Toole on the Letterman show last night.
Too late.
I don't want to get... I'd love to get that thin. He's a skinny man, you know.
Yeah. He is. He's like Death. Letterman might as well have said, joining us tonight in the left seat, Death.
But still funny, even though he was Death, he was still funny. I laughed out loud. Drinking story. You know, come on.
I didn't see him last night on Letterman. I saw the promos.
Hysterically funny. He tells one story. Problem is now it takes him 2 hours to tell it.
This thing last night on TV with Bush was nothing compared to the summit that they had today at the radio station.
But many more people attended.
So we do a show from WJFK. That's our home station here in D.C. Heard throughout America on Westwood One, right? Now, I don't know, this was like last July. We broke away from the supportive heat of WJFK. And we're now housed in our own... in our own radio station, in a different state. I mean, not only emotionally, but physically, we're in another state.
Not only in another state, we went across a river. You have to wade over here to get to it.
Right. So,
the WJFK, our home station, is in Virginia.
Right.
We now have studios, and our home studio station is in Rockville, Maryland. So, I don't know about you guys, but I've not been through the door of the other place.
I have not either, not for lack of trying.
Since we left. And not like we left, since we moved out, right?
Yeah, I've been meaning to stop by there because it's on my way here.
We've got our own place.
I just haven't had the time.
Yeah, since we finally got enough to get our own place and move out of Mom and Dad's place.
Right.
So today they have, more important than this crap.
The situation in Iraq is unacceptable.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Everybody kind of knows what that's about.
We'll get into that. I think what everybody really wanted to know was what was going on at the State of the Station meeting.
Yes.
And because it's the biggest rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, we are going to do great, even if it takes till 08 or whatever their motto is.
Wasn't it make people feel good?
We were not required to be there. Mike and I were not required to be there.
Neither was Buzz.
Oh, I thought Buzz had to go.
It's a gray area. We're really not sure.
Oh, you didn't show?
I couldn't make it.
Yesterday, I
gave Buzz permission not to go.
Oh.
I told him if there was any fallout, I'd take responsibility.
There you go. You know what that is? O'Mara manning up. Man up, Mike.
Well, I said to Buzz, you know, why do you have to go there, Buzz? Well,
that's what I asked.
You know, you really don't. But I figured you'd want to go, but you had things to do.
Of course,
today.
I wanted to go, but right. I couldn't get around.
Sure you wanted to go.
Couldn't make it on time.
Couldn't fit it in.
So they had this big meeting, which is supposed to, I guess, be for morale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Michael Hughes, for goodness sake, there's like a wet piece of pasta up there in front of people going rah-rah, sis, boom-bah.
Wet piece of pasta with arms.
I can't imagine. I think the best person to give us the review,
Joe,
is probably the person who cares the least.
Mm-hmm. The definitive company man.
Joe.
Someone who was definitely upset by the fact that he had to adjust his schedule.
Oh, yes.
To show up for a meeting today.
Oh, yeah.
Always is against the man.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, the first thing he said when he walked in the door today was, cry the CF we had today back at the old station.
There's only one thing that I think would have redeemed it for Joe. I heard they were serving a boxed lunch.
They were.
Afterwards, that they were going to provide free food.
Fellas, not to alarm anybody. Don't get your panties in a royal wad.
Mm.
Especially you, Rob, with your very tender baby-like ass.
Ulcerative colitis.
Yes. The phones are all going screwy here. All the lights just went off.
Oh, my.
That's it. We're walking off. We'll see you in 7 weeks.
Wait, we should look. Goodbye, everybody.
I got to get my head together.
There might be a wet basement.
It appears that, well, I don't know. Hold on. Let me see. There you go. Hey, you doofuses. What are you doing back there? Hey, Yanni. What are you guys doing?
There's something with the phones, and the engineers are working on it right now.
Nothing wrong with the phones.
Oh, nothing wrong with the phones. The headset's not working. And why that makes the lights go off, I don't know.
You mean the thing that Joe uses to talk to people?
Yeah, that'd be the one.
Why doesn't he just pick up a telephone?
I don't know.
I'm right here.
Oh, that's right. He's right.
Let's ask him. Are we going to get a State of the Station address from Joe?
Yeah, in just a moment, we'll call him in. I've said that before to people when they're talking. Hey, hello. I'm in here. I can hear you.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm in the room.
People are talking about you.
Right.
Joe, can you just use a handset?
Well, not currently. That's what we're trying to get through on my end. But you should be able to take calls.
Okay, good. I see the phones are back up now. Thank you.
Very good.
Joe, come on in.
Things.
What, buddy?
They were just rebooting the system.
Okay, come on in.
Hey, come on in, buddy.
They're denting all our equipment here from all that rebooting.
I just called him buddy like I do my dog. Okay, come on, buddy. That's good.
Buddy, what you're
doing? All right, buddy. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
How you doing, buddy? Here he is, disgruntled employee number one, Joe Ardinger.
The all-new Joseph Joe.
Joey, let me just check these phones.
Yes.
Now, why did I put a Y on the end of that? Why am I so affectionate towards you today, you big loser? Hello, Don and Mike Show. This is simply a system check.
Are you there and can you hear us?
Yes.
Very good.
Good. Howdy, what's up?
How's it going?
Fine.
Super duper.
Just fine. What can we do for you?
I have a really awkward question, and I don't know.
Awkward for you or awkward for us?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Good.
Okay.
Maybe I can answer. I can't smell it through the phone.
Okay, so
Is it an odor issue?
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Would you like to ask your question now?
I'm out. Go ahead.
Okay. So, okay. I go to school in Baltimore.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm a really big Ravens fan.
Yeah.
And there's a contest to get the most famous people to call in, and you get tickets to the Ravens-Colts game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you guys could help me out.
Is this a morning show?
Yes.
I think you should have Joe call.
How about Joe Ardinger?
What station in Baltimore is it, honey?
It's 106.5. I think it's
our station.
As a CBS station.
Uh-huh.
Sure, I think you could use Joe as a representative of our show.
What's the name? What's the name of the morning show?
Oh, I have no idea.
That's worth calling right there, Joe.
Thank well, hold on one moment, and we'll give you Joe's information. You can use Joe as a contact.
You know, normally I wouldn't ask that question. I had a feeling it was the right thing to do.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I have an awkward question for you guys,
wow.
too.
Yes, go ahead.
So when you guys had Jeremy on the other day, how come you guys didn't ask him what horrible cough you have? What is that cough?
Ron Jeremy you're talking about, yeah.
Yes,
Ron, you know, you're absolutely right. We probably should have spent more time discussing his inability to speak because he was hacking. It sounded really evil. It sounded awful. It sounded diseased.
He has TA.
TA?
Throat AIDS. No, I'm sure he wears...
Or LA. Lung AIDS.
I'm sure he puts a condom on his tongue.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure he does.
That's a pretty thought.
He doesn't look like the healthiest man in the
world.
No, or cleanest.
He makes you and me look healthy, doesn't he?
I heard a story about him a long time ago.
What?
That apparently there's quite the odor.
Oh.
And he, late in his career...
Listen, look at him.
In porn, the women were concerned with that.
Of course. Yeah, the smell of ass everywhere.
Not pleasant.
Ron Jeremy. There we go, talking ill of the dead. I mean, he's only been off the show 2 days.
It's not like he's going to be a regular guest.
No, Rob's got him booked again next week.
Oh, good job.
Every weekend.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Oh, is this the Joe lady still?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I wanted to give my 2 cents on the president's speech last night.
Are we doing that now?
Are we
ever going to be doing that?
Not really, friend. We're really going to be talking about the state of the state, of the radio station state of the state thing. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't think he used his cowboy voice, and I was disappointed.
You're
plus,
right.
I like the guy. I like it when they talk like this. I'm the guy that calls in the radio show. I want them to do more of that.
What?
I'm confused. Doing a little playlet.
I have two topics. I have the President Bush didn't use his cowboy voice.
True.
Last night.
That one failed miserably. And again, why the show has become like a comedy club where you come and try out your material, I don't know. That one failed. What's your second topic?
My second topic is I don't know who that guy is, but Mike does an impersonation, and the guy calls in and talks like this.
Super Dave?
Super Dave, yeah.
Super Dave is. Maybe we'll
you know, there. Super Dave is the easiest impression in the world. Everybody at the radio station does it. You could do a better job of your Super Dave impression.
I need to listen more.
Why don't you give him a tip right now on the fly, Mike?
All you have to do is talk like that.
Hi, Mike.
Don does it.
I love it. I love it.
Rob does it.
Charlie. I like Charlie, too.
Buzz can do it.
Hi, Buzz.
All you have to do is talk like this.
All right. Not everybody can do it.
That's true.
Can you combine Charlie and Super Dave?
Oh, stop
yeah,
it.
Jesus.
Howdy.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
What, Joe? I'm sorry Joe was screaming.
What?
Hello.
Hello,
Don's and Mike.
Yeah, howdy.
Very nice.
What?
He did Borat.
Very nice.
Now we've got everybody here.
Very nice, right.
It's the camp.
It's a Borat.
All right, right. You're Vagine. I understand.
Impressionist.
Very nice. Joe. Hi there, Joe.
Hi.
Is that microphone not working?
That microphone there?
Hello.
Oh, no.
Sounds funny, doesn't it?
Sit. We're going to walk. We're out of here.
Somebody did this on purpose.
Seems to be a problem. Were they in here playing again last night?
No, not last night.
There you go.
Right.
Hello?
No. It's okay. Better than before.
No. See what's happening. We're,
still nothing.
We're rapidly. Do you want to try this one? Does this one work?
Oh, maybe. Do you have the right button on?
Joe, all of the buttons are on.
Oh, all the buttons are.
There you go.
Very good. Well, here
okay.
I am.
So you're on guest mic, right?
Yes.
Do I get an engineering credit for getting up out of my reclining position and pointing out that the microphone that was in the middle was being unused?
It might be a union violation.
Here's your gold star, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joe. You are disgruntled. You don't like your job.
No, I mean, I like my job.
I mean, okay, I put that the wrong way. You like your job, but you like your job here. You like your job when you come to work, and the man doesn't hassle you, right?
That's right.
Joe has issues with the man.
The man, and Joe was the first one to speak up, at least to you and me, upstairs a minute ago about the state of the station meeting.
So what happened today, everybody was required to be there, except Mike and I, and I guess, I bet that the morning DJs weren't there, were they?
Yes, they were. Oh. But you'll be pleased to know I was the last person to show up.
You were.
I was 1 minute late.
Were you now?
But four minutes late.
I got it. Listen, I have to defend us against the the guys in the morning. They're there. It's right after they got off the air. They're there.
Right.
So from a convenience standpoint, if they had to do the traveling, they probably wouldn't be there.
Busy preparing.
I'm sure that they won't be walking around the station beating that drum too much. That hey, we're here and Don and Mike are not here.
I don't think it'll matter.
I think they promised them Alexis to show up. So
anyway, Joe. You're at the thing today. And
the highlight?
Everybody is there. All like 50, 60 employees of the station are there.
Any
right?
new tale?
Not that I'm aware of. But I was lucky enough to sit next to Shondell.
Oh, bravo.
Well, she is about... She's it, right?
She's it right now, right?
Yeah.
As far as ladies of the radio station, everybody's heard the name Shondell before.
It's been so long since we've been over there, and I know they've had some turnover. I was hoping maybe there were some, new...
And, of course, Shondell's husband, Jack Del Rio, American Dad.
Guy from The Simpsons.
You know him as big, gigantic, brawny man. That's who he is.
I'm Shondell's husband.
But so you got to sit next to Shondell, huh?
Yeah, but the highlight, to make a long story short, there was a playlet.
A playlet? Put on by who?
By Max and Lisa and Megan and the computer guy and some promotion people.
A playlet? What kind of playlet?
What kind of playlet?
It was...
Christmas story?
Top five. Rob, help me out. Top five.
Top 10 ways that 07 is going to be better.
Right.
Oh, God.
Thank God we didn't.
This sounds unbearable.
And seeing as I didn't even remember the title of it, don't ask me what one of the 10 things
was. Oh, no, come on. What was the first play? What was the first little skit?
Teamwork. That was number 10.
Teamwork.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
Okay.
We wrote the book on that.
How was that evidenced via
communication was one.
Yeah, but what type of interaction did these people who were the...
They stood in a line in front and each read a couple of each of the top 10s.
They just read the top 10.
Like a Letterman thing. A couple for each person.
Were there
switching
costumes?
Back and forth. No costumes, okay. No costumes.
Were they funny or were they serious?
They were...
Neither?
Seriously funny.
Seriously funny.
Okay, I get what you're saying, Joe.
It was...
Do you have an example?
It was one of those times where you just leaned back in your chair and bent around the column in the room just to wince.
Just to avoid? Oh, that bad? Oh, God.
Mike, what, do you have an example? Does anybody who... John, were you there? John, with half a memory, were you there?
Unfortunately, yes, I was.
Make your way in here, please, would you?
We're going to get a review.
Call another witness.
We're going to get a review.
John has some more details. Yeah. Joe obviously blocked them out.
Joe, he characterized the meeting accurately. It's just we can't get any of the detail. And that's what we expect, and that's good. And
John, what were the playlists like?
You know, I tried really hard to block them also.
Come on.
It was...
some specific...
Jesus, please. Were you guys there? God, what was it? Oh, one of them was Don and Mike Show's studio in Rockville, $180,000. The new studios at WJFK, $150,000. Number one ratings, priceless.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, what do you remember, Rob?
I remember because it was number two. They said, number two, bear down, grunt, and it was a whole bunch of BM puns, and then there was an... And something like that, and then it was.
Then they were doing BM jokes, like poop jokes.
Yeah, and then Joshua Tree, he was the one reading, and he said, "Get it because that was number two."
Oh my god!
So they're doing scatological humor. Okay, that's good.
Well, that's
good.
How you win the crowd. I missed a lot of it because I was laughing.
Was there a deli platter?
There was food from Chicken Out.
Was there? Was this a pep talk?
Sort of.
So what
was the purpose of the meeting?
To let people know that the state of the station and
the situation in Iraq is unacceptable.
It's strong.
The station is strong.
And that
and the war is going great.
We had a good year, and we're going to have a better year.
Yes, Joe.
Joe. What, Joey?
One thing that made me laugh with a chortle and a snort was Max. Max put up his PowerPoint.
Max is the program director of the month.
And yes, it said that JFK was going to maintain its dominant male position.
And was that done for a laugh?
I think so. I think once you saw it up there, you realize that's what it said.
Oh, God. Oh, so that was the laugh on your own.
Yes.
The dominant male position.
I think I was the loudest one because Shondell turned and smacked me on the knee and said, you liked that, didn't you?
WJFK will remain in the missionary position for the bulk of 2007.
Well, WJFK has been taking it up the poop for a while. That's a dominant male position.
That's a submissive male position.
So once you get past the people who came up and read the lame top 10 lists, then what happened? When did Hughes get up and give his big...
Well, he was the first one to get up there and talk about, let's see, what we did in the past, what the goals for this year, various percentages of this and that. And
imagine if he was honest. Hi, everyone. The truth is, of the 25 or 30 people in this room who will actually be here at the next meeting, congratulations. Roughly 20 to 30% of you will be gone by our next quarterly meeting.
Now, there's something else that Joe's leading out is we weren't just addressed by Max and we weren't just addressed by Hughes.
That's the general manager and the program director.
Right. Other people spoke and they were good too.
Like who?
Tony Diggs had a speech.
Tony Diggs? Tony.
Yes.
Oh, now see, I would have showed
and
up.
Tony did wear a suit.
Okay.
Hi,
really?
Oh, hold on. That's the wrong Tony. Tony Diggs.
I'm really excited about it. Everything that's going to happen.
We got a half $1 million for studio repairs and web.
Did he lean forward? No. All right.
Bacardi Limon.
So Tony Diggs. Who spoke besides Tony Diggs?
Timmy?
Timmy O'Bivene? Yeah.
Timmy had a brief word.
Department head.
The Nigerian nightmare.
Yes.
Department head.
What did he say?
I have been here a long time.
Wow.
That's all I got from that. There was the new Miss Bobby lady, Kathy Saxon.
Now that's the office manager.
Yeah.
Right.
And so she spoke about
things. What'd she look like?
Oh, she's great.
Okay.
Very nice. And then
that answers that question.
Who else spoke? Oh,
Kathy or the other Kathy or
Jeff Hedges spoke.
HR.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
He's a very articulate guy.
Actually, the room was most quiet for him.
Of course it was. He's scary.
How long did this absolute gab fest last?
115 minutes.
Long
but Hughes
time,
was hoping
Jack.
To bring it in under 2 hours, so it was a success.
Made it. Wow.
115 minutes doesn't do it service, Rob. You got to break it down like that. Almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours. Hours.
That would have been excruciating.
It was.
And then you ate chicken with everybody afterwards?
And macaroni.
Was there a break? Was there like an intermission?
Don, when you're being entertained, do you need a break?
Wow.
Went by like that.
It really did.
So did everybody leave energized and full of spirit?
Crying.
Yeah, let's say that.
Not so much.
And no new tail?
Same old tale.
I think you've asked that a couple of times.
Well, nobody
now.
Seems to give me a straight answer. Were there any attractive new women employees at the station?
No, there's a couple cute guys.
Will you stop saying Shondell?
John Solid got a haircut. He looks dreamy.
So nothing's changed over there.
So did one you guys... thing, I started, my mind started to wander so much that I noticed that on Hedge's head, you could see the reflection of the lights above in perfect squares. Just like in the cartoons when they draw the little squares on a balloon.
Right.
Identify yourself as having said that, Joe.
Yes, that was Joe Ardinger.
That's
Joe Ardinger.
I love you, Jeff.
Yeah. And you. Well, sounds like it sounds like fantastic fun.
A worthless meeting.
Oh, sure. I mean, I got no raise out of it. You know, if they'd finish by announcing that we all got an extra 10G, I'd have another spring in my step, but alas.
And it sounds like a lot of what they were talking about was throwing out money amounts that they're allegedly spending to fix the place up.
Most of it could have been handled in a company-wide memo on your email and or meetings with just talent to tell them how well their shows are doing and or the sales department to tell them what their goals are for. But for people like Rob and myself and John and the producers of the morning show, not really much there for us.
Not
we could have been doing our job.
Yeah. Okay, so that's your excuse today?
When you don't do your job.
And I'm sticking to it. And I'm backing up Rob and John, too, because we were all there.
Very good. Paul Hughes. And tell him, because I bet he's not listening. Tell him the reviews are in. Great meeting.
Say, was that today?
Stellar. Everybody's really motivated.
Michael Hughes.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, it's Mike.
It's your favorite afternoon show.
Howdy.
How are you?
We are great,
and we're getting nothing but raves about the meeting today.
We, because we couldn't be there, we had a full report from staff, and everybody says it was fantastic.
I hope so. I thought it was informative, and it was good to have everybody together.
Understood. You started out with like a top 10 list thing, and then you had a PowerPoint presentation, and you had some scatological humor.
When did when did everybody get naked?
I can't comment. That was, what happens in the meeting stays in the meeting.
That's right.
Hey, Michael, Rob here. How are you?
Hi, Rob.
I was most pleased, and I forgot to mention this, Michael would have had to have been dumped 3 times for the S word.
Oh. Hey, there you go.
Kukula.
That's shocking.
That's a good thing. Did anybody else cuss?
I did, but under my breath.
Quietly.
So, Michael, now just between you and I and everybody listening, morale before this meeting was at 99.999999%.
Did we achieve the 100% employee morale after the meeting?
I think that's something we'll probably know tomorrow.
Very good.
And you brought it in at just under 2 hours.
It was about an hour and a half. So, well below the scheduled 2-hour sentence that I had originally put out there. But I will tell you, highlighting and playing the Don and Mike YouTube commercial was a highlight, and everybody really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I'm sure people weren't talking too much about us while we weren't there, while that thing was on. At least at this point, let's call a spade a spade. Okay?
Where are they? At any time was the comment, "Where are those bastards?" Was that uttered at all by anyone?
Not in those specific words.
Again,
really colorful.
Please, we have ears over
there. Hold on. Rob wants to speak to management again.
No, Hedges asked me when I got there. He was down having a cigar in the parking lot, and he said, "Are Don and Mike coming?" And I said, "I don't think they are." And he said, "Shocking."
Now, why did you lie to Jeff?
What? How did I lie?
You lied by saying, "I don't think they're coming."
Oh, I didn't think you were coming, and I was right.
You knew they weren't coming.
You knew
Thank you, Michael.
Coming.
Thank you, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to just bend it a little. Come on.
Michael, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give the state of the station meeting today?
I think it was a pretty good meeting. I'd say an 8.
Hey, an 8. All right.
An 8.
All right. Nice work. Up from last year's 7.3.
I understand there was macaroni and cheese for all.
We had lots of macaroni and cheese. In fact, there's still some. It's got a bit of a crust now, but it was... And there's still some available.
Oh, well, that means Joe Arden will be taking a detour on his way home tonight.
And I must tell you that I don't think Joe paid a lot of attention.
Yeah, you might want to, next year after the State of the Station, you might want to offer a quiz.
We asked him details that he couldn't offer up. I mean, he had all of your dynamic concepts down,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't have the specifics.
Yeah.
He was pretending to take notes. Right? Was he just drawing pictures?
No, all he mentioned was seeing Jeff Hedges' head shine. That was all.
He was preparing his shrine to your penis. Like that geisha we had on the show yesterday.
That's exactly what he's doing, because he's a good, dedicated employee. Even though it might not look like that on the surface, we know that he's like that below the surface.
All right, Michael. Thank you for your time. What are you off to now? What is the next mountain for you to climb?
Oh, we're doing a similar presentation at some of the other stations.
Today?
Oh,
those poor bastards. Are you going to make all the people at the other stations? Are you going to make the people at the other stations put on a Brady Bunch talent show, too?
if you are, I actually might attend the one at El Zol.
That's what I was going to ask. Might you guys come to that one?
That would be fun to see that.
No,
they have to bring him a Michael Lewis.
Aren't you guys having cockfighting there?
Stop.
And a donkey sex show.
Oh, that'd be great.
You're breaking up.
All right. Goodbye.
There goes Michael Hughes.
You see, he is also the manager of the Spanish-speaking station.
And here. One of the real pleats in his cape, I should add.
Yeah. And he dresses like one of the guys in Three Amigos.
He comes in with the black with those little balls hanging off his sombrero.
Goodbye, buddy.
Blue.
Things have been going great here at Elzel, which, as you know, means the sun. And here are the top 10 reasons we're a great station. Hey, cockfighting!
Yay!
Hey, amigos!
Bueno. Muchas gracias, señor Hughes. It is a very pleasure. Today, the state of the state is strong.
There's going to be dice playing in the other room in the corner. Pinatas?
Muchas gracias. De nada, Michael Hughes. Bueno.
And, of course, the enchilada man is here.
We are having a good time. We will be baking our own tortillas.
Can you picture him? Now, this would be the greatest thing about working at a non-English language station. Uh-huh. If your manager was a dorky white guy like Hughes.
Right. Tragically white. He fits into the tragically white category.
As soon as he walks in the room, even though it's a Spanish language station, and maybe he knows some basics of Spanish, I'm sure as soon as he walks in the room, you could say in Spanish, hey, here comes the horse's ass that came out of the wrong end of his mother. Hello, Mr. Hughes.
And they can say that in Spanish and then speak to him in English. What fun that would be.
We would
have that ability.
Not to make this totally serious, but there is a severe double standard with the FCC that, from the way I understand it, if you bother to listen to what's said on Spanish-speaking radio and some of their crazy, kooky, morning zoo, shock jock hosts,
They can cuss?
They get away with an awful lot.
Do they really?
I think it's changed.
Because we know habla Espanol.
Yeah, so I mean, but if somebody... I thought the rule was even if it's in a foreign language,
it
you
is
can't
now.
Say the best.
Now they have that rule.
That's Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Hello there, Donna Mike Show. Carl.
You're kidding. It's me? I'm being asked for a password to listen.
I don't know.
For goodness sakes. Hey, who screened that?
Anyone? Employee of the month?
Who did that?
Well, I don't know who that douchebag is.
Oh, sure you do, Joe.
Come on, that's
like the nutcase. Yeah. You know how Letterman's got that guy with his house?
Yep. There's the girl.
That woman with his house. That's the guy in my life, for goodness sakes.
Well, I'll block him.
Good. Well, what was he saying about not being able to get the stream without a password?
I don't know. I don't know what he was talking about. I think his meds were off today.
I think that's every day.
I think the first time you go on, you have to make up some kind of a password when you sign in.
Oh.
Yeah. If only we could keep all the creeps from listening to this show.
Well, we can keep them from calling.
If only there was a password for life.
Yes.
A little password to keep a little 2 mile circumference around yourself.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, guys.
Howdy. What's up?
Hey, listen, I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir. Howdy. Howdy again. I'm glad I said howdy. That's a Houston thing.
Hey, can I ask you a question, sir?
Sure.
You don't want to put that scorpion on the plane to bit that guy?
I'm going back to Houston.
No.
Yeah, that plane originated in Houston, Texas. Houston. And there were them scorpions stung him. You do that?
No, that wasn't me. Sorry.
So what's up there, Houston?
The stars that night are
big and bright,
deep in the heart of Texas.
I'm sorry, what was that, Houston?
I'm trying to find you guys' link on your website.
Oh, disqualification, you guys'.
Mike, we got to let him go for 1 second, though.
All right.
But if there is
I'll tell you, and you say this more than anybody else, you relax that standard, you relax all the standards.
Houston, we have a problem.
All right, I'd like to talk to you, but, you know, whatnot.
You've always thought whatnot a much more egregious penalty than...
Yes. Hello, Donna, Mike Show. But to each his own. Hello.
Hello, Donna, Mike.
Yeah, howdy.
Hey, you probably have heard this, but the stream is incorrectly configured. It's not working.
Guy, I only wish we had heard it from someone besides the guy who likes breaking into my house. And thanks again to the guys behind the scenes for putting that call right through and putting it up on the screen.
The stream is not working.
And please, out there, crazy guy, no need now to call the station and say, I've never broken into your house. I only drove by it a couple of times, and I never really called the hospital to say that your kid was... Carl, let it go.
Let it go, Carl.
Just let it go.
Jeff is calling New York. He's already looking into that.
Right.
The stream will be fixed.
Yeah, because usually when you mention that break into the house thing,
Carl gets mad. He gets hot. He's a hot Carl. All right, so we'll get it worked out. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. One day, Dirty Sanchez. Next day, Hot Carl.
I guess it's a particularly troublesome listener.
He is indeed. You have every right to feel the way you do about him.
I'm on the other side now. I'm not so defensive about things. And I just, you know, Carl Grossman is the guy's name. Rather obsessed with the show. For a long time thought that he, as a listener, had a place on the show. My address got out there. Blah, blah. You've heard this before. I hold him responsible for a lot of it, rightly or wrongly. Either way, Carl, just bug off.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Upset.
See, that was handled without yelling, without screaming.
I don't think you'll be upset. I think you'll understand.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi there.
Hey.
The guy who was talking about the RadioMat password, I tried that today, too, and it is. It's telling you to choose a station and then telling you to choose a password without actually, it's not a login.
Yeah.
It's literally looking for a password.
All right, we're on it, honey.
Thank you.
You're on it. Thank you very much.
Oh, that plot from CBS is exposed now.
And unlike months ago,
the plot to buy passwords.
We are not going to walk off the show today, even though the phones have malfunctioned.
Right.
And apparently the internet stream is down.
Mm-hmm.
We will stay with it, friends.
Everything's fine, especially in Texas.
We will stay with it, and we will be here until the cockfighting at El Zol is done.
Yeah, just a little under 2 hours.
2 hours of nonstop cocks.
Fantastic.
Fighting each other.
Right, in a box.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
How you doing?
What's up?
I know you don't like the phrase whatnot, but I need to tell you that I found it in some fine literature.
What literature?
I was reading the original Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne to my son.
It's a children's book, but it's a classic.
He uses whatnot several times.
All right, well, then we will have to do away with Pooh.
Does Pooh Bear himself use whatnot, or is it Tigger?
I think it's the narrator.
The narrator.
Well, whoever it is, we will have to go through and take care of him and put him away. Put him in the Disney vault.
Amen.
Where they put all the other stuff. Oh, and they're starting that, too, now.
Yes, of course.
Lady and the Tramp.
Right.
Say, have your kids seen this classic? It's going back in the Disney vault. So buy your copy now, kids.
If you want to own this treasure, you've only got a few days left and whatnot.
One last call and you're it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How's it going?
Okay, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. As far as that stream goes, if you go to the JFK homepage and then go to Listen Live, it works there.
Oh, okay.
What about does our website link to RadioMat?
Yeah, I think.
Don and Mike website.
I'm not going on the internet, but I was just trying different ways to get to it.
All right, thank you. Now we're getting calls that it's maybe up and working now. Hello, John. Don and Mike Show. Johnny.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm listening to it on Spike 1140.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Las Vegas station, right?
Yes.
Man.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Uh-huh.
All right. Mike, that's what people do in a crisis. Mm-hmm. Everybody chips in.
Yeah, to let us know what they're doing and if they're okay.
Uh-huh. Everybody chips
in. Which is the most important thing.
Everybody chips in and brings a sandbag, and then the guy on top of all of the sandbags is the guy that likes driving by my house and putting my address on the internet. And he stands up there and he takes his shirt off and he says, pay attention to me!
Right. Is he still living in whatnot, Maryland?
look at me! I won't be ignored.
Please, would you like some rabbit stew?
Gotta do this, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Who the hell are you?
Sir, my name's Ray Kinsella.
We got a learning disability here?
Mr. Mann, if I could just have 1 minute, please.
Look, I can't tell you the secret of life, and I don't have any answers for you. I don't give interviews, and I'm no longer a public figure. I just want to be left alone. So piss off.
Don and Mike Show.
Couple of jockstrap characters. Don and Mike.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Oh, that line just went Lily Munster on us.
Oh, no.
Lily.
Lily.
Try that one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
If you want, I can send you a link that will work that one of your web guys can put up on the site. It's straight off the Sonic stream page.
What's that?
You know, doesn't it always seem, and I'm sure that this is the case, that there are always helpers out there. There are certainly people out there who know more about the internet than you or me or Rob.
It's being corrected right now. It'll be ready in about 5 minutes. And it'll be fixed.
But you've hacked it before, right, sir?
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, that's good.
He's off to...
There are a lot of people that call themselves computer experts that aren't computer experts.
Who gave you the 5 minutes high sign? I'm just curious.
Our web guy, Craig.
Okay. Let's put 5 minutes on the clock. No pressure.
All right. For Craig.
I would just be curious if it is really 5 minutes, that's all.
Yeah.
They said before that...
Right, it's 53:50.
That would be set any second. So is that all people are going to be calling now, I'm guessing?
Probably.
Is to say that they can't hear the stream?
Did that many people listen on the stream? I thought most of us listened over the air.
Well, that's all we had was like all 16 lines were ringing with just people saying they couldn't get the stream.
Well, that means that really we may be worldwide. Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
I believe we're countywide, Mike.
We never ask for, you know, we I guess we do that thing, where are you? You know, where are you at?
Yeah, where you're listening, but that's a game.
Right.
Like physically.
But I don't, have we ever said, you know, on the internet where, you know, what's the furthest? I know we've gotten
Turkey.
Calls from overseas.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I've heard that
hey,
we have
Don
listeners
Mike,
in
radio.
Turkey.
Listeners in Turkey, all right. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, radio
yeah.
gods.
What?
Hey, speaking of Bush, hey, when Britney went commando, was she au naturel or JonBenet or somewhere in between?
She was JonBenet.
She was JonBenet.
Gross.
Oh, God.
When
okay.
I haven't seen the picture.
All right, thanks.
I really? For it.
Well, you need to put it up on your website, guys.
It's like all those shots, though. You don't get... You know, it's not like you're getting Larry Flynn.
Hey, it was on the front page of the New York Post, so it's not like she was doing a spread, if you'll pardon the pun.
It appeared to me she was clean-shaven.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm surprised. I would imagine it would be big and sloppy and unkempt.
I would think so, too.
Wild growth.
Just based with her, you know, personal work ethic.
Okay, listen, while they figure out the telephones and the Internet, the phones are okay, right? Or did they fix the thing with Joe's headphones?
Yeah.
Joe's headset.
So that's been repaired.
He's wearing his headset.
All right, very good. All right, well, then we'll continue. I got something for you, Mike.
Okay.
But Feist, Junior Seau. The NFL playoffs are this weekend. I know you've heard the name Junior Seau, right?
Linebacker, right? Great
linebacker.
Great linebacker
with the San Diego Chargers.
Chargers, right.
Then with the Patriots. Broke his hand. He's out for the year.
Mm-hmm. And one of the great line of juniors. Samples, Seau.
Here we go. Two women are suing Junior Seau.
Huh.
Now, here's... Boy, there's a lot of words we can't say, but they're great words.
Isn't he Hawaiian or Samoan or something like
something
that?
Something like that. Little background on Junior Seau. Yeah, let me see. In 2004, he told an audience he was not a faggot.
Really?
He was speaking somewhere and he wanted everyone to know he's not a faggot.
Not that there's anything wrong with him. It's kind of interesting saying it that way in a public forum.
Then in 2005 at a banquet, he was asked how to stop LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, his teammate. And he said the only way to stop him is give him some watermelon and load him up with fried chicken.
Wow.
I guess this all went under the radar.
I didn't know he was controversial.
Because he's a good guy. He's one of the guys that, I say he's a good guy because... The NFL props him up
right.
as one of those guys.
The United Way.
The United Way commercials.
Right,
and he's a big one when there's something going on. He's the face of the NFL.
Oh, I got you.
Junior Seau, one of the good guys. Well, let me see.
What else? So these comments that you're mentioning have come to light now that he's in a bit of a controversy.
Yes, he was at a place in San Diego called The Sidebar. And again, now, you know, in a lawsuit, the goodness is we found out, you can allege anything about anybody, mm-hmm. and they do it to make a big splash.
Right.
But let's see. He walked up to a couple of women who recognized him, started talking to them. And at one point, he said to one of the women, "For God's sakes, put your shirt back on. Your teats," he used a different, more vulgar word,
I see.
"Are much too small." Then he said to... Jane Doe number two.
I'm not an expert on such things, but I think that's not nice.
Then he said to Jane Doe number two, "Get on a treadmill, you C-word."
Wow.
Then he threw drinks on them.
That seems surly. Seems like he's getting upset for no reason.
And there's an awful lot. He goes on to comment at great length about these women's breasts and
their need for exercise.
And just a gratuitous amount of C words.
Uh-huh. Really?
Just about every other word is
respectful. I'm going to say that from that, if it's true, he might have been drinking.
Anyway, Junior Seau, good guy.
Yeah.
Thanks to Junior, it works for all of us, the United Way.
Good guy. That's good.
Get on a treadmill, you C-word.
And apparently, one of the women was so gone and so enamored with him that she had actually done that thing. I believe the story goes on to say, lifted up her shirt, like, you know.
Flashed him?
No, will you sign my breasts?
Okay.
And said, your T's are too small.
Put a shirt on.
Put your shirt on.
I would never say that.
No. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Junior Burbank.
Thank you. Morocco Burbank.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, nothing much, guys. Good to hear you guys again. I'm in Myrtle Beach, and I'm listening on the stream. So, yeah, it does work.
Very good. What's the weather like in Myrtle Beach today?
Oh, nice. A little chilly, but nice. Right. I can't believe it's, like, what, 70 degrees in January?
5 minutes and 22 seconds.
There you go.
That's good. They did it. They fixed it.
Thanks. Cool.
That's good. What's up? Thank you, my friend.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Thank you for the call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, I'm Mike. Hi.
Yeah, hey, I just want to let you guys know, and everybody's calling about the stream. I just want to let you know worldwide, I'm originally from the U.S., and I'm living in Paris, France. I listen to you guys, like, every night.
Are you listening in Paris right now?
Yes, and I'm listening on the JFK stream because there was a problem on your main website.
We heard.
But dude, I listen to you guys all the time. I do my podcasts, and it's all I can talk about to my U.S. friends over here, so we're getting you loud and clear.
Bonjour. Bonsoir. What time is it over there in Coward Land?
Right now it is about 9:55.
I get you
during primetime television because we don't have, like, any good cable stations or anything, but I just want to let you know that, we get you, dude.
How does an American live in Paris, my friend? Aren't you shunned by the gay French? And I don't mean gay like homo gay.
You mean gay like gay Paris.
Yeah, like gay Paris.
Oh, I mean, it's stressful at times, but you just kind of roll with it, and ain't no big deal. As long as they keep making good food, that's all that matters.
Are you a married guy or a single guy?
I'm a married guy.
You're a married guy. Oh, I was going to say, so you're not having your way with those women with the armpit hair?
Absolutely not.
Are you married to a French woman?
I'm sorry?
Are you married to a French woman?
No, I'm married actually to a Danish woman.
Oh, a Danish woman.
Oh, I bet she's getting on with a French guy right now.
Well, no, she's sitting here with the house just kind of, we're together listening to you, so anyway.
Is she hot like all those Scandinavian women?
Is she like Tiger Woods' wife?
Not too far off.
Really?
We're a little bit older than those guys, but yes, she's definitely a little bit of a turbo hottie.
Do you speak fluent French?
Not at all.
Oh, wow. How do you get around?
My feet.
So you really don't need to know the language that well?
I have kind of an international job, so I'm running into U.S. and British people all the time. Of course, my wife kind of takes care of me and everything.
When a frog comes up to you, when a Frenchie comes up to you and gives you a hard time about being an American...
Yeah.
All you do is say, why'd you bend over for Hitler?
That's it. Once every time.
Why did you bend over for Hitler? Mike and I...
And the closer you are to the Arc de Triomphe is the better for that, because that's where they had all that famous footage of that happening.
Mike and I have had that theory for years, and when I was lucky enough to actually go to France with Rob for a vacation...
You've been to France? I've never been.
We actually taped people on the street and asked them, why did you bend over for Hitler?
And, of course, they thought you were kidding and laughed, and then when they walk away... You two would be left with those quizzical expressions on your faces. Both of you were dead serious.
We were.
Why do you bend over for Hitler? Nah.
That's how you win any argument with a Frenchman.
Uh-huh.
With any Frenchie, that's how you win.
Shut him down. And then you'd ask them for marijuana.
For me. Oh, that's right.
Cannabis.
There was a guy over there who smelled like weed, and we asked him if he knew Buzz, and he only spoke enough English that he thought Buzz meant weed.
Cannabis.
Cannabis.
Cannabis. What's the best thing about living in France?
I'm still looking for it, guys.
Oh, yeah, right. See, there's a true American.
I was just going to say, how do you survive in a foreign country without all of the things that piss us off that we take for granted?
Well, what did you like about it over there? You had things you enjoyed. You said that when
I mean, it's kind of a job thing for me. But, I mean, there's certain things internationally that my profession kind of calls for, and that's why I'm over here. But, I mean, I have all of the kind of American-style shops picked out, and those are the places that I frequent.
You know, I just remembered something about France, though. Isn't it... perfectly acceptable for you, no matter how hot your wife is, isn't it okay for you over there to take a mistress?
To take a what?
Take a mistress.
A whore.
A woman on the side.
It is.
A gourmand.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that all these political things that go on in the U.S., you hear people that say, oh, what about this moral fiber? People can't do this and you can't do this, and there's so many kind of social restrictions. Over here, it's just sort of accepted, and you figure, why don't they just, in the U.S.?
Right. And your wife's a Great Dane. She's probably into that as well.
A Great Dane.
Wow.
That's funny. That is funny. Can we ask?
Well, anyway, guys, I just want to let you know the stream works worldwide. I've been listening to you for 12 months. So I finally got my computer up and running, and I'm loving it, and I depend on it every day. Thanks a lot.
God bless you.
Okay, see you later.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Bonjour.
Thank God we live in America.
He was getting a little uptight when we got into the Great Dane area.
Yes. Thank God we live in America, because I was like, all the things that you take for granted or piss you off, when you go anywhere in America and everything looks the same,
right?
You go, oh, look, it's the same type shopping center. Best Buy, Applebee's, Starbucks. Go somewhere else where you don't have those brick-and-mortar stores.
Well,
your friends.
And, of course, you mentioned a long time ago, if you go to a foreign country, it's the lack of channels.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right there. That alone is your strongest argument for staying put.
Don't get me started in France. I was there for 10 days with Rob and his family and my family. I virtually lived watching MTV Europe.
Viva!
Yeah, Viva. All it is gay disco techno pop.
Yeah, they like their techno over there.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or soccer.
Food was good, though, right? Food was good.
Oh, my goodness. Food was great. But you got the whole thing about Hitler. I couldn't get past that.
Yeah, I know.
Remember, lousy coffee, couldn't get a good cup of coffee, and also, if you wanted a Coke, or as Don would drink a Diet Coke, 8 ounces would be about $5 or $6.
Really?
Yeah.
And, of course, no ice.
Never forget.
You have to ask for ice.
Why do you want ice?
And then when you get the ice, did it taste like B.O.?
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Okay. The saying and what? What?
What? Hold on, Rob. Stop yelling for 1 second. What?
Uh oh. Who me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The phrase and whatnot. Well, when I was growing up, my mother used the phrase to tell you the truth.
Go ahead, Rob.
And,
yeah, start again.
Will you start?
No, the ums again.
Start from the very beginning, would you please?
We'll
give you our undivided attention. Go ahead.
Yeah. So one day I went into my boss's office, and I was talking to her, and in part of the conversation, I had said to tell you the truth. And then she said, Kathy, I really need to talk to you about something, that when you say that implies that everything else you say must mean you're lying. What do you think?
Rob, you're going to pop another hole.
Great story.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank
bye
you
guys.
Very much.
Bye, honey. Love you, too.
I just love you guys. You're so funny. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
thanks for calling, dude.
Buddy. I called Joe. Come here, buddy. My dog. Come here, buddy. Good boy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to let you know that hell might be freezing over tonight.
Why?
Possible snow in Sacramento, and we don't get snow but once every 100 years.
Really? That is like that movie. What's that movie, The Day After Tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, right.
So they say all the different areas start getting all the weird weather. Snow in Sacramento.
Well, we've still got that Weather Channel thing that it could happen tomorrow.
If they get snow in Sacramento and they get enough of it, that could make the roads slick. And, it just makes me smile.
We can have hope. Yeah, there's a show on the Weather Channel called It Could Happen Tomorrow about, if disasters hit major cities.
Right.
It's a very, they wanted to be a serious show. We found an episode where was it an earthquake?
Yeah.
Or it was
we're flood prone.
Yeah,
we're going to flood.
What if a major flood wiped Sacramento off the face of the earth? We TiVo'd it and watched it, and we laughed like we were watching wedding crashes. Really, we did. Big, full-tooth laughs.
Sure. I hope you get lots of snow.
Hello there.
Come here, buddy.
Don and Mike, turn that radio down. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Right, howdy.
La musica, Don and Mike.
I believe this man's doing an El Zol impersonation.
Gotcha. See you at the party. Plenty of cocks. Plenty of cocks for everybody to fight with. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey,
Hey, do you want to hear a story when I met Dennis Murphy out here in Sacramento?
No.
Hey, no.
Bye.
Are you sure?
No, I'm sure, Rob.
Okay, okay, buddy.
Only if you met him in a snowstorm.
Bye.
And he's gone.
He finally hung up.
He's gone. Mike, are you still planning on going to New Orleans this weekend?
I am indeed.
Ah.
I'm going to the Big Easy for the first time since Katrina for me.
Good for you.
Looking
good.
Forward to going down there and pumping some money into the economy.
Good, Mike. Police plan to set up checkpoints starting today to help curb a new crime wave that has claimed 9 lives since the start of 2007.
Six, I think.
No, no, this is since the new year.
Yeah. Oh, I read the other day they're having a crackdown. Oh, I thought that was from June. The article I read, they've had a lot of murders since June.
So, 9 lives since, what is today, January 10th?
Right.
The 11th.
John, you've been warning me about this trip, didn't you? I mean, you warned me. You said, don't go.
I don't want to say this lady's name.
And I told you, if something happens to me really, really bad, I don't want you getting on the radio and gloating.
I'm good friends with a travel agent, and I don't know, a while ago, I had mentioned to her, hey, New Orleans would be a great getaway. And she said, I really shouldn't say this, because, you know, everybody wants New Orleans to be revitalized.
Right.
She said, if you go there, just be careful. She said,
and you know,
this was long before,
and you know me,
whatever this thing was,
that if I go there into New Orleans, there's just no way I can be careful. There's really no way. You know how I am in that
rental car is in the target.
There's two ways to look at this.
Yeah.
First, you could be afraid and not go, or you could look at it like a lot of people who don't live in D.C. where we live.
Yes.
Like this past summer, they had something called a crime emergency.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it seemed like there was literally a person being killed every day in the district.
Right.
And there were stories out that there's a crime wave and a death wave, and this happens in Miami, and this happens in Detroit and other major cities.
There are bad people everywhere.
That's right. Just be careful, Mike.
Well, I'm going to try. But, I can't. Look, I read also in one of the articles that most of the crime.
And don't let the curfew bother you. Have fun with the curfew.
Are they doing a curfew?
Curfew between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Really?
Yep.
So they finally decided to do that. I thought they weren't going to do the curfew.
Well, you know, this is, just short of imposing a curfew.
Yeah, because they're not going to do a curfew in New Orleans.
They will have checkpoints throughout the city between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Ah, yeah, that's they're doing that so, people like me don't wander. Yeah, I was going to say that most of this crime.
You know, you're probably right. They probably want to keep all the tourists
in a quarter,
like in an 8-10 block area.
Well, Rob, was it you that I wandered out of the quarter with one night?
Yeah.
We ended up in an area we didn't want to be in. Yeah. And it wasn't
Robert, the angry mailman for the Don and Mike show.
No. Wait, no, it was more like hi, this is Craig Wilson.
Yeah.
It was
hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
You got surrounded by a gang of macho gays?
It was not your average gay community. It was a very different, very kind of aggressive
This
area.
Happened to us twice. This happened in Memphis, too.
Yes.
You take one wrong turn.
You do.
And it's good night.
You know, it's like any city. You got to know the neighborhoods you want to hang out.
Hello. Memphis is a wrong turn. No matter where you go in
Memphis. Beale Street's fine. Beale Street's fine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but you take one wrong turn off Beale Street.
We had a good time in Memphis one night. But with the quarter, even back before Katrina, you didn't go. You don't wander out. And most of the crime takes place down there in those wee hours of the morning, and you just don't want to wander.
All right, the mayor, Mayor Nagin, says he doesn't want a curfew because it would hurt tourism, but he wants tourists to know, stay off the streets.
Stay off the streets.
That's what it says.
Stay off the streets, but the whole thing about New Orleans is you stay on the streets.
Well, in the safe area.
Right. Well, I think I'm going to eat during the day.
It's like in Baghdad. You go to the green zone.
Right.
Just go to the green zone of New Orleans.
Well, I think at a certain hour I'll be safe in the casino anyway.
Well, I'm like you. I would like to go back. I really would like to go back.
I look forward to giving you a full report on New Orleans. Somebody that I talked to said their reaction when they came in from the airport to the middle of downtown was anger. Was anger that they have done
it looks
so
crappy
little to help the people down there. And I'll let you know what it looks like down there. And I'll it's a 3-day weekend. I could probably get into trouble.
And no matter what happens, you will help the local economy.
I will definitely. Well, here's the thing. Will I really help the local economy?
No.
Will that be going to a major casino conglomerate?
Where is Harrah's base?
Yeah.
Money that you lose at Harrah's.
No. You know what? I'm going to try real. No. Well, I'm going to try. No. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm still going to eat a lot, and I'm going to spend money and stuff, and I'm going to bring Saints jerseys back for everybody. And
there you go.
And I'm going to go to a local bar and watch the Saints game on Sunday. I'm going to have a lot of fun, and I'm certainly going to to drink a lot of alcohol.
Give me a Reggie Bush shirt.
I will. I'll get you
like
a Reggie
that.
Bush shirt.
Don't the Saints play Saturday?
They do Saturday night, right.
Do you want the real kind or the silk screen?
No, I want the real kind with the sewed-on numbers. And the real kind, not the almost real kind.
Okay.
The real kind.
I'll bring you back that with some pralines.
It'll set you back.
Probably, yeah. And Carla's, it's the one city Carla's always wanted to go to, so I'm very, very excited. And I'm going to tell her, too, you know, if she wants to do any shopping, well... You know, while Daddy's sitting in the sports bar, you know, don't wander.
I would pretty much lock her up in the shower.
I think I will, yeah.
I would just lock her in the bathroom, just to be safe.
I'm going to keep her away from any trouble locally and any Philly fans.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio got us up.
Howdy.
Hey, listen, we've had 16 murders in 11 days in the great city of Baltimore.
What is it, 16 murders in 11 days?
Well, Mike,
that's down.
Cancel those plans. Don't go to New Orleans. Go to Baltimore.
Okay, crab cakes for everybody. And how about that? What a perfect time to celebrate Cal getting inducted. I am so happy, and may I be the first one on this show to tell everybody it's overdue, even though it was the right amount of time.
It's overdue.
It's long overdue, even though he couldn't have waited any sooner, or whatever that means. How about that Cal getting inducted with that Tony Gwynn? Thank you, Cal, and I hope Angelo sells you the team.
Question for Robbie.
Don of Mike Show. Hello, you're on the air.
I have a question for Robbie.
Yeah, he's back here somewhere.
Tom.
Yeah.
What?
How many necks can a redneck read if a redneck can read redneck?
All right, thank you, friend. On that, we'll be right back.
I don't know why I laughed at that.
We'll be right back in a moment, Mike. A segment, a real-life segment I'm going to call... The Chocolate Pie Show.
Oh, chocolate pie.
Chocolate pie.
Chocolate pie. How about that cow?
Now, remember, chocolate pie is important. Why? In the history of the Don and Mike Show? Because one time, a long time ago, there was a fake commercial that we got about a guy who, it was about how all lottery winners are stupid.
Mm-hmm. You ever notice that the only people that win the lottery are really stupid people?
Now, this was a churned out by some comedy factory parody spot that we played on our old morning show 20 years ago. It had one line.
Yes.
Where they said, have you ever noticed everybody that wins a lottery is stupid? And they said, what are you going to do with your $1 million?
I'm going to buy a chocolate pie a mile wide. Okay. And we latched onto that forever.
We stole that, and we made chocolate pie a mile wide our secret code for anything that happens to white trash people.
Amen.
That come into money.
Right.
All right, are you ready for this?
Chocolate pie.
This is as timely as today's headlines. Nearly breaking news. I'm sure you've heard about these people, and as a matter of fact, they live very close to our station in South Florida, and I bet that they've probably complained about the fact that they don't play the dead people's music anymore on the station.
I think we're probably going to get a little of that.
There is an area down in South Florida between Palm Beach and Boca Raton, and a bunch of people own ratty trailers. One guy actually was living in a Greyhound bus.
Wow.
And they've been bought out now.
Briny breezes.
And they are each going to get $1 million.
Maybe even more.
Maybe more.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And we're talking about... Over somewhere between 400 and 500 people who have these mobile homes.
Some of them that paid, I think, $35,000 for their home and the place that they're sitting on, and that they're going to get $1 million for.
So anyway, we've got a couple of these instant millionaires that we'll be talking to in a moment, and of course we'll ask them if they plan on buying a chocolate pie
a mile wide.
And there's a very good chance that perhaps they were part of the listenership of the former WMEN in Miami that we're on now. The station used to play standards of Frank Sinatra and stuff like
very
that.
And hopefully with their $1 million, they can pull it and buy the station back and kick us the F off.
You know, if they were smart, they would do that.
Mm-hmm.
If they really wanted that old fart funeral music.
I want to tell you, I got together with my neighbors, and we're going to buy that station and put Peter Marshall back on.
Thank you. Now, Rob, have you talked to these people in advance?
Yes, I have.
Do they have the rednecky accent? Do they have the New Yorkie accent? Do they have
separate
any accent?
From each other, they both know each other, and they both are from Long Island originally.
There we go.
Okay.
I think we understand.
Thank you.
It would be more like chocolate pie. Chocolate pie, a boy, a boy.
Chocolate pie, though, doesn't work with that.
No, it doesn't.
It's got to be like...
We're very happy with the million.
with $1 million.
It could be more.
It could be more. You know, if you held out a little longer.
You never know. All right. Either way, these folks are instant millionaires. Chocolate pies. I will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose. I'll be right back.
Don't you go dying on me.
The Don and Mike Show.
Suck on that, losers.
Let them squeeze your bag. Don and Mike.
Now, let me see. It's almost categorized as a... fall under the category. Could be categorized as breaking news. Almost. The deal is, in Florida, you got these people who are now instant millionaires.
Really, you don't hear many stories like this where, you know, because of development, people, you know, the average guy gets rich.
And this is not like one of those things where 8 million people go in on a lottery ticket.
No.
And they win millions and people get a splinter of that.
You're talking about, we have the total number now,
488 mobile homes.
Wow.
In an area of South Florida that have been bought by a developer, and the people there stand to make at least $1 million each.
Briny Beach, Florida, and I saw a picture of this community down there, and it really is choice property, and you've got all these mobile homes that are kind of surrounded by multi-million dollar properties.
A lot of them, I'm sure not the people that we're going to talk to here, a lot of them are quite ratty and make the one that Jim Rockford had on the Rockford Files look like a big mansion.
Right.
Including, as I mentioned, I saw the guy who's living in a bus down there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me see. I believe is it a man or a woman who's named Gay?
I believe that's a woman's name.
Hello, Gay?
Hey, is this Thomas?
Tom Byrne is standing by.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hold on, Tom. Be right with you. If that's
okay.
Tom, he's one of the guys that bought one of these places. Right? Or had the place bought, and this must be Gay. Hello, Gay?
Hello?
Hi, Gay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to talk to you, Gay.
Thank you.
Well, you must be pretty good right now, I would imagine.
Well, yes. You mean feeling pretty happy?
I imagine so. Hold on. Let me conference together.
Pardon me?
We're going to conference you and Tom Byrne together.
All right. Now, Gay, do you know this guy, Tom Byrne?
Tom and I have known each other for what, Tom? 40 years?
40 years.
Wow. Yeah. 40 years.
All right.
So you guys are like the Beverly Hillbillies now, where all of a sudden you are overnight millionaires, right?
I guess you could call us Beverly Hillbillies, but, you know, you could rather call us very lucky seaside residents or something like
that. Will you be buying any chocolate pie at all?
No.
No chocolate pie. Now,
no chocolate pie, no.
The way I understand this, guys, is
lobster.
Lobster.
Yeah.
You don't really get your money until, what, 2009? Is that when you're getting your money?
Right.
Yes.
And you get to live in Briny Beach in your mobile home community. For how long? How long did they let you stay there?
Well, Tom, what, 2 years? Two years the minimum, yeah.
It's basically until March of 2009.
Ah.
It's two seasons.
Now, I've got a question for you that's unrelated to your situation. You guys live in Boca Raton, right?
No, it's really actually Boynton Beach.
Uh-huh.
It's above Boca, and it's... Yeah, it's a little bit north of Boca.
I only mentioned because this is kind of an inside radio thing. I wanted to throw it out. I know that there was a station down there that played standards and big band music, and it was unceremoniously taken off the air and replaced with just real crap. And I was wondering if you guys had heard anything about that.
Did you ever listen to AM 640, guys?
Is that the station, Mike?
I think it's AM 640.
I'm not a big radio listener, so I wouldn't... I wouldn't have been able to listen to that.
How about you, Gay?
Well, you know, I'll be very honest with you. When I listen to the radio, I listen to Christian music.
Oh, Christian music. Very good.
Okay.
We had heard they had taken away a radio station that was important to a lot of people about your age in that area. We just wanted to say, we have empathy for you.
Well, the soft listening that I, you know.
Yes, that's what we need
like
more
that.
Of.
Yes.
Now, what do you do for fun down there, guys?
All right, Tom, you go first because you had more fun.
Well, first of all, we've got the beach, which is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Gay and John and I both have boats right in front of our mobiles on the Intercoastal.
Are you people still sexually active? Are you still young at heart?
Go on, Tom.
Well, I think the... What are the martyrs in the Muslims? They go to heaven and go to they have all those 70 virgins or something.
Yes.
But right. What happens if you're a Christian? I'm a 68-year-old widower in Florida.
Okay.
And that's probably a hell of a lot better.
68. What is the average age in Briny Beach in your community?
Probably it's at least 70 years old.
At least 70. Wow, well, that is high.
Then what? Tom, let me talk to you and Mike. You can tackle gay.
Okay, no problem. No problem at all.
Tom, you're almost 70. You sound to me like a young, happening guy. Got the world by the tail. I don't know what your financial situation was going into this, but now you got to be pretty sweet. You can go out there, get yourself a young health. Get yourself a young 60-year-old woman. Really impressive. Do you think that you are going to have a, I don't want to call it a midlife crisis.
A new wealth, a nouveau riche crisis. New money crisis.
Do you think there's
any chance? Well, the interesting thing is I really did not want to sell.
Okay, are you one of the ones? Because I know there are a lot of people down there that didn't want to sell.
I am very glad that it was not a cliffhanger. I really can't argue with the fact that 82% of the people wanted to sell. So, I mean, you have to, this is democracy. You can't stop that many people wanting to do
it's democracy with seven zeros.
But I saved my whole life to have a retirement. That money
seven.
Will go to my kids.
You're lucky. So your kids got to be a, did your kids try to talk you into it?
You know what, all my kids care about is that I'm happy.
Well,
and,
Tom.
They're all well situated.
Tom, you must take that money in $1 bills and go to Las Vegas with it.
put it in a little room and just roll around in it.
You know, I would imagine that you guys have had many, many discussions about the prospects of this $1 million windfall. Has anyone had any really unusual concepts of what they're going to do with the money? Is anybody real excited about it?
Well, there's one guy. His name is Mario, and he's Italian, and he—that's a big surprise. But anyway, he did not really want to sell for a while. But at the last minute, he really had this vision, and what he is going to do is buy a piece of property in Italy where his parents came from. And he's going to go on a lot of trips. So he's a guy that, you know, really has a specific vision. There are also some very compelling reasons. People that live on Social Security.
Right.
People who are ill. People who want to help their grandchildren go to college. I don't argue with the reasons why people wanted to sell.
Hey,
I just didn't happen to be one of those people.
For both of you guys, excuse me for a second there, Tom. For both of you guys, there is a stigma. And I know because Mike lived in the trailer for many years.
Yes, and I loved it. I love that kind of life.
There is a stigma that goes with living in a trailer park. Do you both have nice upscale trailers, the kind of trailers that perhaps you could put up on blocks and move to a...
Well, it is a mobile home, so you could conceivably move... Will many people be moving their trailers?
But not all... Trailer park homes have houses that have
wheels
on them.
No,
right.
there's some mobile home can be.
Right.
Are most of the houses in Briny Beach, are they the kind of mobile homes that sit on a foundation or are they on wheels?
They're pretty much on a foundation now.
Do you guys both have the upper echelon of those trailers?
Yes.
I knew you would. Thank you.
They have double wides.
we both have double wides that are very comfortable.
You know what I haven't heard in any of the reporting about this? How much land do each of you, because it's a very small amount of space. How many square feet do you have with your lots in Briny Beach?
I don't know, Tom. What do we have?
I don't know in terms of square feet, but they're not that close. In this the sections where we are, there is one section where when you sneeze, the person in the next mobile says, God bless you,
that's right.
But that's not where we are. We've got enough room so that you have privacy and... It's pretty nice living.
It's like 50 feet across, 40, 50 feet across.
So it's still a hell of a lot of money for that amount of space.
Well, it is a hell of a lot of money, but this space, there is not many of these spaces left in South Florida. And that's what it is. We have the ocean,
right.
We have the intercoastal, and we have four or five canals that, you know, are already in place and set to go. So, you know, it's location.
You know, Hollywood show the type of guy that would come into this community and try to get you guys to sell would be kind of a snake oil salesman, an oily, slick kind of guy. When you had your first meeting with the representatives of the developer, mm-hmm. were they kind of slick when they came in there?
They are very, very professional.
Okay, Tom. I agree. You know, that they are And they are not, well, you know, Tom and I are coming, we're coming from both different sides, even though...
Well, like gay, I think you want to say they were kind of slick.
Yeah.
Were they gay? Were they kind of slick, these
I
guys?
Now, Mike, I'm getting the feeling these people were taken advantage of now.
No.
You say
no.
They could have gotten more.
Yeah, they could have gotten $2 million.
They have the potential. They have the potential just... from the condos that they're going to be selling, not the rest of them.
Hold on, let's talk to Gay for a moment.
Okay.
Gay, what didn't you like about the people who sold you the land?
I can tell you, there's nothing that I didn't like about them, to be very honest with you.
I was wrong.
They were very professional. You know, they come with big credentials. They've done a lot of work down here in Florida.
But Tom, you were going to tell us exactly what...
You want to hear Tom?
No, I don't want to hear the good stuff. Tom, you were going to tell us what the potential they have to make, even if they just build condos.
Well, just in the condos. Not the hotels or the commercial stuff.
Billion.
It comes out at about $2.6
billion. Wow.
So these guys...
So you guys got peanuts.
They know what they're doing. But another thing to show you, I got a telephone call today from the vice president in charge of acquisitions, and he just told me that in our meetings, he obviously knew that I was not in favor of selling, but he complimented me on how I carried myself out, and he wanted to let me know that if there was anything that he could do, you know, give him a call. So
I guarantee these people could have held out for millions more.
I'm very, very impressed with that whole Ocean Land Group. They know what they're doing.
Huh.
We could have done it ourselves, but we didn't see it that way. So
hey, Tom, I got an idea for you. You know what you ought to say to him? You ought to say maybe you're thinking about filing a lawsuit. Because, you know, they're really, I mean, this is horrible to say, but I would imagine the one person in there, if there was somebody that really wanted to make a stink, they might be able to get a bigger payoff, but you don't have anybody that's
going
to do that.
There's going to be a lot of lawsuits, but I don't think they're going to be coming from within here. There's some very wealthy communities north and south of us, and they are in an uproar. Like you said about the stigma that goes with living in a mobile home.
Why would they be upset, Gay? They're getting rid of, no offense, they're getting rid of the trailer trash.
Well, but we were not trailer trash. Then we became a little quaint seaside village. We went from one extreme to the other.
We used to be an embarrassment to our neighbors, but now all of a sudden we're quaint.
You're quaint now because the money came in.
Yes.
Do you have the character, the town character?
The
individual that maybe is a little more difficult, the odd person that everybody kind of says. You have to have somebody like that.
The trailer park drunk?
The Greyhound bus guy?
Yeah, the trailer park drunk, too.
Well, that might be like a good percentage of the people here.
a guy that walks around in the middle of the day with his robe on and nothing else.
You want to know something? Associated Press was here, and interviewed by this Brian Sokoloff, whatever, and he said to me, "Well, what is it that you love?" I said, "I love that I can go out early in the morning and walk my dog in my pajamas." I said, "But don't you dare put that in the paper."
Uh-huh.
Of course, that is across the whole United States. And my children are always said, "What are you saying that you're walking the dog in your pajamas?"
What is the earliest that you can take a drink and not be looked at strangely?
Yeah, 11 o'clock, Tom.
I try to wait till noon.
Okay, noon.
All right, listen, nice talking to both of you, kids.
Thank you very much.
Don't waste that money, and good luck.
No,
yeah, good
okay,
luck to both of you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think they're jealous of old people.
They were both very nice. Don't worry, you're working your way towards
I know I am.
So am I.
But when I go down there, I hang out with these people a lot. Did I tell you when I was down in Florida... that I went out my last day that I was down there, I played golf, and we went out for a few drinks afterwards.
Yeah.
And the average age of the three guys that I was with was plus 70. I was sitting there, and the one guy sits back there, this white-haired guy, 76 years old. And he looks over at me, and I swear to God, he looks at me and says, "You want to do some shots?" You love them, and they're dead. The attitude down there, you could hear in them. I mean, not only they get $1 million, they're happy people.
They both sound like they were okay. I got the feeling with the guy, he had that confident old man sound to his voice, like, "I really like these people, and I really like what they're all about." And I got the feeling that, you know, no matter how much money you're making on a deal,
right?
Do you ever feel good?
No.
Like if you get something from your boss that you really earned, do you go, "You know what? That's great because I got my raise, but wow, he's such a great guy. The company's going to make..."
Yeah.
No.
He wasn't happy about
that. You
know
what that is? No, he was.
Do you think he was happy about
that? No, that was old man speak. That's the first sign that I was worried. He's like, "Listen, these are good guys. They got a good plan. Do you know how much they stand to make on this?" And when he said in the billions.
Right.
With a B.
Sure.
I was like,
$2.5 billion.
Old man, you don't want to be in the M's if they're in the B's.
You don't. You don't.
I know about BMs.
Okay, you do.
You don't want to be. You want to be in the B's, not in the M's.
And, you know, I hope they're still around, but how are they all going to feel when they turn it into a medical testing facility? You know, where they just do medical experiments on animals right on the water. See how they're, let's see how this this little deer responds to the anthrax virus.
I also noticed that Tom, the guy, said that he would he was going to give a lot of his money to his grandkids and his family. I didn't hear that from Gay.
No. Well, and what Gay said, he had to read between the lines with what Gay was saying when she talked about walking her dog in her pajamas. Because really, Briny Beach,
that's
just one nonstop orgy.
Yeah.
That's right. And she didn't mention what
it was
her...
It's like a Britney Spears shot. And she has the same look as Britney, except it's natural. All the hair's falling out.
And the thing is, it is her pajamas are baby dolls.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you are.
Welcome to Briny Beach. No panties. Don't tell Associated Press. Don't tell them that I walk my little dog in a baby doll nighty.
And I thought I would be able to suck them in on that hole. This format of the station changed.
They don't care.
No, we don't.
They
we
could
don't
care less.
The radio.
They don't. They're down there. You know, they're just doing their own thing.
Associated Press. Don't look at my vagine. Don't look at it. We walk dogs. We play cards. We drink starting at 11 a.m.
That was okay.
And we go to the beach.
That was okay. That was maybe the best answer. What time am I? Got a good question. What time is it appropriate to start drinking?
There are a lot of spoiled people down there. And I mean that, you know, they've earned it. I don't begrudge them this. But there are a lot of spoiled people down there that really, you know, if anything goes wrong,
I thought you said you had bananas on special.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I tell you what, though, guys, that was a hell of a race today. Shake and bake in full effect.
It's always been like that.
Woo!
Me and Ricky, since we're little kids, man.
Yeah.
We go together like Chinese food and chocolate pudding, let's face it.
Yeah, but Cal, those two things don't really go together.
We go together like cocaine and waffles.
You know, like, for instance, if I say peanut butter and...
Ladies. Yep. Right?
No, jelly.
Am I right?
Jelly.
You like to put jelly on a lady?
Tell you what, I'm going to settle this thing. Let's just get ourselves a whole mess of cocktails. Get drunk and work this thing out.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right. Who are you?
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm
the number one show in Irascimento, the Don and Mike program.
Yeah. We're just watching a tow truck out of the parking lot. That's the type of exciting life we lead during the commercial.
Wow. Yeah, it's fascinating here in Rockville.
Speculating that maybe Joe was having his car repossessed.
So much fun here. We watch tow trucks. We watch crows. We watch styrofoam float in the air from the building next door.
Hey, you know, we don't have time today, but the M80s are ready. Those goddamn mother-effing crows next door.
They still keep coming back.
Take a look at the barrage of gigantic bird-ass poop
all over the parking lot.
Not a little bit. I mean, like, splatter time.
And you want to talk about a useless effort. When I got here today, one of the cleaning crew or the maintenance crew,
grounds crew, yeah,
was cleaning the parking lot with a leaf blower.
Yeah, that'll get the bird poop off.
That'll work.
All it did is make it harder.
Yes, nothing can clean it. Nothing can clean it
it's
unless you got a high-powered hose.
Right. It was 19 degrees last night. This bird poop, which is big and gigantic, it really has now become petrified.
Right. I took my car to the car wash today, and I thought they were actually going to blast off the paint when they were trying to get the bird poop that was on my door.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at this tow truck out there, just because we're dopes looking at a tow truck out the window.
Look at the tow truck.
So maybe it's when Joe got Joe's getting his car taken away from him, repoed. I probably have told you one time I had a car, well, more than one time, but the most embarrassing time I ever had a car repoed.
How many times total did you have a car repoed?
Three times. So one time, this was so stupid of me, 1977, let's say.
All right.
I'm living in Providence, Pro FM, making no money, you know, like $150 a week.
Right.
And Toyota had just come out with a brand new Celica.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm stupid, I went down and said, I'd like it, and give it to me in that bright canary yellow.
Oh, no.
You know, because I'm a dick. And they sold me the car, and I was terribly upside down of the payments on the car that I traded in. And it was one of those things when you're dumb and stupid. I knew that they'd come to take the car away.
Mm-hmm. It's about the mid-'80s, early-'80s that you had?
Late 70s,
and you had a car payment of $6,000 a month.
I had had a couple of cars repossessed before this. Well, that was okay, but back then, forget it.
Was that when the original dealership of Easterns was open? That's where you got it?
I really remember getting up in the morning for about a week and looking outside and making a run for my car before I went to work. And I distinctly remember I knew it was going to happen any day, and I don't remember what night of the week it was. It was a work night because I thought, I'm going to go to whatever the AM, PM Quickie Mart is
right,
and get the stuff that I need to have, like a chocolate sundae or whatever it is that I wanted back then for a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking in my head, one of those moments that you remember forever, as I was driving to this AM, PM Piggly Wiggly thing, thinking, I better enjoy this car, because really when I get home, the repo guy could be there.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, when I got home that night, the repo guy was there.
So he's standing there and you had a discussion with him?
He was there, and he had a tow truck, just like that.
Right.
And I knew immediately, as soon as I pulled into the apartment complex, I knew he's here for me.
Mm-hmm. So normally you think of repo guys, you know, sneaking around in the dead of night and taking the car away clandestinely. But no, he actually made no secret about it.
You do not know how bad I used to be with credit and how bad I was with my money. It's not like the bank made a secret to me that they were going to do this. And they knew that I was a disc jockey. And this was so, I found out after the fact, doubly, triply, quadruply embarrassing. Everybody at the radio station knew this.
Knew that you were going to get your car repoed?
Yeah. Because they had sent me letters like, hello, hey, jackass, you've not made the first payment.
So you didn't make one payment on it?
No.
Oh.
It's 3 months. 3 months later. Meanwhile, I would call them and give them a line when they would call
me.
Did
you give a down payment for the guys to buy the car?
Yeah, I had like a couple $100 that I threw together for the down payment. And I worked big on the thing I have on radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I am.
I'm easy to find, guys.
Right. And they would call on a regular basis at the radio station for me. During my show, I'd go out and be like five messages from whatever, from Schmuck Toyota.
Right.
And I'd get on the phone to the guy and say, oh, yeah, everything's just about to work out. And turns out everybody knew. And I remember that as one of the worst moments of my life. Driving up the driveway to that apartment, seeing that tow truck, and knowing the car is gone.
Goodbye, car.
And then what made it worse was picking up the phone after they towed the car away, and the guy was very, as nice as you can be about that.
Right. Well, what's the exchange like? Because I never knew that kind of thing happened.
The guy says, are you me? I say, yes. And he says, because he knows, when he sees the car, he says,
sees the bright yellow car coming into the parking lot.
He says, I'm here to take your car back.
Wow.
You haven't made any payments on it. I said, yeah, I know. He said, so you're going to have to give me the keys. I said, why do you have the tow truck? Well, because I'm going to put it on the tow truck, but it'd be much easier if you just gave me the keys so that I could just take it out of gear and
right.
And I actually helped the guy.
Yeah. You helped him? What choice did you have?
I got behind the wheel and actually...
That has to be the most defeated feeling. That you're helping a guy,
I was such a loser. I mean, when it came to money, I was just, you know, I mean, even on the way to go buy ice cream and chocolate syrup.
Right.
I knew in the back of my mind, this is probably going to be it. And I remember driving back thinking, God, I love the instrumentation panel on this. I love the instruments on this car. I love the way it glows. I love the way the radio sounds. And so they repo the car. And I pick up the phone, and I'm humiliated, but I think, well, I got to get by this somehow. I call a buddy of mine at the station, Big John Bina, whoever it was, and I say, hey, it's me. You're not going to believe this. The most awful thing has just happened. And he said, oh, they finally repo your car? Now, I had no idea that everybody at the station knew about it.
Knew that you were going to get repoed.
Maybe even had some type of pool going on when the car was going to be repoed.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a nicer car than any of the other guys that were at the station?
Yeah, of course.
See, that right away, that draws attention to it.
I had a brand new bright yellow car that was way out of my price range.
Right.
You know, and I came pulling in like a swinging dick. And this was the short-term way that I looked at life. And I know a lot of people who live paycheck to paycheck do this. My thought was, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Right.
30 days, they'll take the car back. My credit is already screwed, mm-hmm. so for 30 days, I'll drive a great car. 30 days became 60 days.
Right.
60 days became 90 days.
Seemed like yours.
Hey, listen. You're driving a car for 90 days. You've not paid a dime. And all
you feel like someone's given it to you.
And all they're doing is calling work to say you better pay.
You rack up a lot of miles on it?
I don't even remember. I mean, realistically, probably not.
Did you ever have one repo that was kind of stolen from you in the middle of the night where they just took it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was the first one. And that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing, too.
So the yellow one was not the first one?
Yellow one was the third one, I think.
Ah. The third one in a row.
The first one was in Indianapolis. And I actually called the police because I said, somebody stole my car.
Oh, right.
And they like, you know, they're, okay, we'll put the APB out. And then I got the call back from the cops. Hey, we found your car. Great. You didn't make the payments. They repoed it. Okay.
I had a friend, so you weren't exactly learning your lesson each time this would happen.
No, it was awful like that.
Yep. I had a friend who got a phone call from the bank. And they said, we're coming to get your car. We're going to repo it. And he said, fine, if you take my car, I won't be able to get work, get a job, get a paycheck, and pay you for the car. Which would you rather have, the car payment or the car? And they let him keep the car.
Really?
Yes. That's highly unusual.
I don't know. I was the worst with money.
No, I don't think they were smoking weed.
I'm sure they were.
Thinking about that, isn't it funny how things make you think of other things?
Right.
That seeing that tow truck made me think of that. And I had a thought.
The wonderful repo man.
I had a thought at Thanksgiving. I probably told you this before. I apologize for repeating myself. One time, about the same time in the early in the mid to late 70s, I got fired from a job on the day before Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And it was my own fault. I got fired. And I thought that there was some kind of superstitious hex. And for maybe the next 10 or 15 years, I would get paranoid at around Halloween time.
Been there.
Because I was positive that I was going to be fired again.
That was the time, yep.
At Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this past Thanksgiving that I had that weird oogie feeling in my stomach. And I remembered back to, oh my God, it was almost like a flashback, like to the car repossession stuff.
Right.
It was like, I remember going home that night, and God, I was such a derelict. No electricity. I hadn't paid.
Right.
I mean, I was like Rusty Ford incarnated. I had not paid my rent, car payment I was behind on.
What would you do with your cash when you would get it every 2 weeks?
This is the worst. I wish I could tell you that I put it up my nose or that I smoked it or that I went out and drank and whored with it. I did stupid, stupid, vain stuff.
Vintage Batman action figure collections?
No, this was back like designer jeans.
clothing and hair,
hold
things
on.
Like that.
Seriously, I was making $150 a week.
Wasn't that back when you got your facelift?
because I was a hot disco DJ.
Uh-huh. Right.
I would pay $75 for a pair of jeans. Now, really, what kind of stupid ass spends half of their money for food, rent, electricity, on a pair of goddamn pants?
And you pay cash?
Of course. Well, I paid cash until they took the credit cards away. Because at the beginning when I had...
You mean after they took the credit cards away, you paid cash?
At the beginning, like everybody, they gave me credit cards. And this was back before they did it electronically. I know we've all done this if you're old enough to remember.
Machine.
The only way you would get nailed if you effed up your credit card was if you effed it up so bad that they took the time to put your name and the number of your card
in the book.
In a printed book.
Yes.
You'd be standing at a checkout like at Kmart, and you'd pull out your Visa or MasterCard, and they would actually pull out a little book and check to see if your number...
And they'd only pull out the book if you looked shaky.
Right.
If you looked hinky, or they just didn't like you, and they wanted to mess around with you. I'll never forget getting so mad that you pay for something, and they'd look at you, and because you didn't look like you had any money, they'd go through the book, and they'd check that number and see if it matched. And one time somebody did it to me and had the wrong number and didn't want to let me pay for my purchase, and I was so pissed, and I actually got the book, and I'm so bad, you know, math, numbers, anything. I'm looking at it, and it took like 20 minutes because they've got 7,000 of these numbers
that
you can hardly read.
Tiny. And now I know it's embarrassing now if you're in a store and you're rejected or not accepted for whatever reason.
Right.
You think it's a computer flaw or you pull out another credit card. Back then, you had 15 people behind you in line.
Yep.
And like Mike said, really, it was a 10-minute process.
Yes, right.
And How about if you knew you had a credit card that was no good and you made it pass without them looking it up in the book?
Sure. You looked at, it was like, you had to appear confident.
So the reason I paid cash was, of course, at the beginning of all of this, where my credit went to total S, I would get credit cards and go, sure, sign up for them. And my attitude was a cautionary tale for anybody because I went through it, but you've heard it a million times. I would just max them out.
Yeah.
And then always think, worry about it another day.
Well, people do that to this day. I mean, sure. People max out their credit cards. You hear about guys that make movies that way,
yeah.
You know, where they maxed out their credit cards to get the financing for it.
Yeah, but I was maxing out credit cards that had limits like of $200 on them. It was not big stakes.
Well, back in the day, I remember my first credit card. It was a very, very exciting moment. And then you realize you get your credit card, you're really excited, and then you realize you've got a $500 limit on your credit card.
Yeah.
And it's gone instantaneously.
Oh, quickly, yeah.
Or in my case, I know a lot of people out there maybe have been in this situation. You get a credit card, and I have to do this, but the only way they'll give you the credit card is if you give them $300 in cash.
Right.
And your line of credit...
That's a secured credit card,
yes,
right.
Your line of credit was only $300.
They still have secured credit cards, and you have to, write a check. That has to clear.
I can't tell you how many times I would be out with people, and it'd be like, who's going to pick this up?
Right.
And I love flashing around the fact, because I had awful credit. Hey, I got a few cards here. I'll pick it up.
Just
hoping that someone else would do it.
If anybody wants to see some of the video, some actually the story of this on film, there's a movie that the Don Geronimo story. It's called Catch Me If You Can. And
yes.
You can look for that in the cinema. It's
if
wonderful.
I was a bit smarter, Mike,
you would have been that guy.
One step away.
You would have been the guy putting on the airplane uniform and doing that. There are similarities.
Yes.
They're about the same age when you were working in radio and you were kind of BSing your way into radio stations.
Yes.
Saying you were older than you were. And I mean, this guy was... was kind of a genius that he was...
Yeah, and I'm a dumb... I mean, no, I'm not saying... he was a genius. I'm a dumb schmuck.
He was a genius, and now I think used by the FBI for to catch these forgers and stuff like that. I mean, I love that movie, man.
When so do I.
He takes the Pan Am logos and puts it on the checks. I mean, brilliant.
That is the movie that seriously made me like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I remember... Oh, God, I think I told you how I changed my grades.
Mm-hmm.
Way back before it was fashionable, when there was only... Now, and I remember the year, 1970.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 12 years old. There was something called a Xerox machine.
Right.
It was at the library.
Right.
What I had to do was talk my mother into an excuse to get me to the library. Then, while she was waiting in the library, I had to find a way to get over by where... the Xerox machine was.
Right.
Give the librarian 25 cents and have her make a copy of my bad report card.
Right. Right.
What I did then when I got home was took the bad report card, whited out a couple of the Fs, and wrote in B.
Right.
Then got my parents to take me back to the same library.
Right.
Where I asked her to photocopy again the forged document.
Sure. Right.
So that by the time I slipped it in the envelope...
It didn't have the whiteout on it. You could give them what looked
correct.
Like an original copy.
Fooled them.
If you had put that time into whatever classes it was.
I wouldn't be here now, right. I'd be a champion of industry, for God's sake.
Well, you do have a bit of a math mind. You could have... Yeah. You know, maybe you could have done the... what's that guy's name? Frank Abagnale?
Abagnale,
yeah.
Although a lot of what he did in that movie is the attitude that I have and a lot of people have. If you act like you belong somewhere,
exactly.
Yeah.
No one questions you.
It works.
He has a certified Frank Abagnale pen.
He has a pen now?
Yeah.
That guy from Catch Me If You Can has certified Frank Abagnale pens.
What, like a ballpoint pen?
A ballpoint pen.
Wow. Don cannot change his grade.
Helps prevent check fraud.
Huh.
These are special pens that help prevent check fraud. Look at the logo on the back of that.
He's a security consultant now.
Where did you get that, boy?
John bought those. Those are the pens John used.
Oh, all right. Now, how does a pen prevent check fraud?
Apparently, it's a special ink that's absorbed into the fibers, so you can't erase it.
Wow.
Okay, gotcha.
Very cool.
Listen, hold on. We got to hit a break here. Two things we got to do before the end of the show today. One, Barbaro is sick. So we got to get an update on Barbaro.
He's a fighter.
And second, I know everybody is really, really sick of the Rosie and Donald Trump stuff.
Day 22.
However.
God, yes, she's a monster. I saw her today.
On day 22, we've got a new angle for you.
Oh, good.
Donald Trump is still firing back.
Okay.
But I found something on YouTube from a December episode of The View that maybe will put everything into perspective for you.
Oh, good, okay.
About Barbara Walters.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where we're going to focus now, is Barbara Walters.
Where is she in this?
Well, you'll find out in a moment.
Like the quiet conspirator?
Hold on. Hold on just a second. The theory is she wants to get rid of Rosie O'Donnell anyway, regardless of what Donald Trump said, and it goes back to a feud that they've had that goes all the way back to last year and stuff Rosie O'Donnell said to her. And anyway, it's on YouTube now.
I'm fascinated like everybody else.
And Donald Trump has put out another statement. You know, thank God that Donald Trump's PR machine does not ignore us.
No, and Donald's PR machine is working 24/7.
Donald Trump's new letter, which he only sends to DJs because no one else reads it.
Right, true.
His new letter says, "Dear radio friend," this is how the press
release. Oh, really? So they're sending it out to radio guys now.
"Dear radio friend, may I speak to you again about Rosie O'Donnell and Barbara Walters? They called me, Donald J. Trump, quote, pathetic. I'd like to let you know that I consider Barbara Walters to be a puppet. Rosie O'Donnell is a third-rate comedian. And The Apprentice was a hit."
Okay.
Here's some highlights. This is from Donald Trump's brand new letter that he's put out to the press, okay, and anyone that will read it. "Barbara Walters has taken the low road for the sake of her show rather than the sake of morality. She lied to Star Jones. Now she's lied to Rosie O'Donnell. She lies about me. She lies to Rosie. She does not have the courage to mention me by name. It was sad to see Barbara Walters read her statement on a cue card. Barbara Walters is a sad figurehead dominated by a third-rate comedian. And I wish she had not recently chosen me as one of the 10 most fascinating people. Rosie O'Donnell again lied by incorrectly referencing The Apprentice ratings. Nielsen showed The Apprentice was number one from 10 to 10:30 in all of television."
Yeah.
And then he writes, "Furthermore, Monday's Live and Regis, Live with Regis and Kelly, with me as their guest,"
here we go,
"was up 36%.
He's the best. He is the best.
So let me see.
He knows how to do it.
I did go back and look at the ratings, and as it turns out,
he's the best, but I should also say he's an asshat.
He is correct in this regard about the ratings for The Apprentice.
Yeah.
The last half hour of the show, 10:30 to 11 o'clock on Sunday night."
He said 10 to 10:30 in that letter.
Well, he was wrong. It was 10:30 to 11.
Okay.
That actually did win its time slot.
Hmm.
1 half hour of the 2 hour show won its time slot.
I didn't know they could break it out like that.
Yeah,
but I guess he can.
Yeah. And then what did he say? "Unfortunately, because of me, The Views ratings will also be up, but they will soon fade. And then there is this that I stumbled on earlier today, and it's something that happened on The View on December 13th, which I believe is what started this thing between Rosie O'Donnell and Barbara Walters.
Okay.
Because there are so many stories going around that Barbara Walters wants to fire Rosie O'Donnell. She's wanted to fire her for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another story out today that says Rosie O'Donnell now wants to leave The View, and that ABC wants to re-sign her and fire Barbara Walters.
Right.
That they're concerned that the ratings won't be good if Barbara Walters stays and Rosie O'Donnell leaves. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Donald Trump thing.
Right.
And then you go back to December 13th, and that's coming up next.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very good.
All right.
December 13th, a year ago?
Just a few months ago.
Oh, a few months ago. Okay.
Just a few months ago, 06.
Okay.
Okay. It. I can only describe it to the tip of your hair as a raw argument.
Good. Okay. I look forward to it.
A raw argument about what's going on at Barbara Walters.
I think we agreed yesterday when we heard Barbara Walters say that we thought she might have been lying. I mean, I think it just seemed to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got that to get to. I want to make sure we get to that. And also, Ray Robbie, do you have the Dale Jr. stuff?
Yeah.
This is too good for all you chocolate pie eaters out there.
Chocolate pie. Hello, Brian and
Beach. Oh, you have the article.
Yeah. Now, you realize that Dale Jr.'s stepmom runs whatever it is, Dale Jr. Earnhardt Racing.
Earnhardt
Racing.
Earnhardt Racing, wife of...
Of the other Dale.
Dale Sr.
Right. He is thinking about leaving Dale Earnhardt Racing to go work somewhere else.
Because he's not getting along with Mamo?
He's having a fight with Mamo.
Oh, no.
And hold on. And we Step Mamo. And we got some really good tapes of Dale Jr. Okay. Hold on a second.
I like driving the, you know, the red bud car with number 8 on it. And
thank you.
There you
Various
Not
dudes.
Deep concepts here.
Various
I like driving, you know, the red bud car with number 8 on it. And to drive that car, I basically have to drive it DI. To get this new deal done, it's going to be very difficult. But I feel like we can get it done. It's hard. It's just there's some things involved that, you know, I think you guys maybe can guess what they are. But
you're talking about his stepmomo now.
So he has to drive it DI? What does a drive it DI mean?
To be DE would be Dale Earnhardt. Maybe it means drive intoxicated.
DUI, yes.
In order to drive it,
you know, there's just some things involved that I want out of the future, involving the company, and it's very difficult to everybody see eye to eye there.
So so he's going to abandon Mamo.
That's what I'm saying. He's leaving the company,
man, because it ain't his real Mamo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Point and click, click, click.
Yeah, go down, not number red, red car number 8.
Mine and Teresa's relationship has always been very black and white, very strict, and as, you know, in your face, and it is what it is. It's not.
What not? Come on now, find a word, Dale. Find a word.
Necessarily, you know, it ain't a bed of roses.
Ah, there it is. He finally came out and said it. Thank you. Right. It ain't a bed of roses.
All right, so when we come back, here we go. We got Dale Jr.
Dale Jr.
We got this thing with Rosie, and we got Barbaro. Okay? Stay there. And if you change the station, you're an idiot.
You are an idiot.
Who would possibly tune out when we say Dale Jr., right, Rosie O'Donnell, and Barbaro?
Maybe Dale Jr.
Hey, my mama.
My mama, red car, number 8.
Let's say that, Mamo.
Thank you, Mamo.
40 or 15, that is that.
Hey, that Larry Fine, he ain't no better roses.
And many a time.
I like driving the red bud car with number 8 on it.
Thank you, Dale, for painting a picture with words.
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, we have that in common.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Jacksonville, Florida. Chuck enjoys marijuana. So he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong, that's a pipe used to smoke marijuana. I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Somebody's singed a kitten. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift.
Yeah.
It's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-BONG.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. I like their show a lot. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
So, Rosie.
Rosie. Hi, Rosie.
Okay.
Look beautiful today on The View. Really looks spectacular with her orange makeup.
You heard the setup. Rob, you got that YouTube thing ready?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Hold on one second. Give me a second. You click it in a moment.
Click it, buddy.
Click it, buddy. All right, so the deal is that Trump is putting out this letter, and they're talking about back and forth. You heard all this stuff on The View.
Well, Rosie's a slob.
Let me see. Whether or not any of what has gone on, I think is irrelevant. because it's Barbara Walters. It's Barbara Walters, and as I mentioned...
Do you think Barbara Walters is the culprit in all of this?
I think she wants to get rid of Rosie O'Donnell, because she doesn't like her. Right. It was a move that was forced on her when Meredith Vieira left, and I guarantee you there's no way Barbara Walters thought that big old fat Rosie O'Donnell would come on and make the Views ratings better, but as much as it pains me to say, they are better.
That's because she's a spark plug.
So let's go back, and you can find this now on YouTube, to The View from December 13th. This is when Rosie O'Donnell and Barbara Walters had, I would only describe it as a raw argument.
When you say raw argument, what do you mean?
Rosie O'Donnell would not let it go that Barbara Walters is very rich.
Hmm. Okay.
And when I say raw, I mean Rosie O'Donnell, and I hesitate to give her a compliment, she was digging into Barbara Walters about Barbara Walters' exclusive she lifestyle.
Oh.
You know, and Rosie O'Donnell makes millions of dollars, but not right. like Barbara Walters' money.
And Barbara Walters has been making that money for a long time.
And I remember the first time that I saw... And Rosie O'Donnell says stupid stuff, like if she was going to have a party, she would have paper plates and macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
She's working Barbara Walters. Mm-hmm. She's working her because in this clip, Barbara Walters talks about it. They goof about how...
Oh, is this the one where Barbara Walters calls Rosie the C-word?
Well, Barbara Walters does say something towards the end of this little clip, like, you make me sound as if I'm elite. And you don't even have to see the video.
Okay.
The audio. Just hear the audio. This is from December 13th. Okay, right. Roll it. Here we go. This is on
a month
video.
Ago.
Just a month ago.
This is YouTube.
You know what a lot of people don't know, and I just really found out recently, thanks to knowing you, Barbara, is at the rich people parties, like the Henry Kissinger house, you are not seated with your spouse.
No. It's not just rich people parties. They have more than 40 people. If you have 40 people, you have usually have place cards and so forth, and they feel that you're with your spouse all the time,
yeah.
and maybe you'd like to meet someone new. I think that's fine.
Yeah. I think it's fine, too, but I'm just saying that that's what rich people do. Normal people have a barbecue, macaroni and cheese, and
oh boy!
Now, right there.
Pause.
If you have a buffet,
I agree. It's there.
Yeah.
That would be permanent. That would be permanent damage.
Yes, it would be.
Now, really, there are close-ups of Barbara Walters when she's saying this,
right?
Where the eyes are saying. You fat pig.
I can't believe you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're attacking me, the person that gave you the job.
Right? You're turning around the fact that I'm having a party with Henry Kissinger. You big, fat, ding-dong-eating dyke. That's what she's saying with her eyes.
Sure. I can see where that would make her furious.
All right, roll it.
Right, but if you're having 40 people, it's hard to have people saying, well, where do I sit?
I just don't like being separated from him. Because couples have to go into parties with, like, a strategy. You know what I mean?
No.
You have, like, the... It's time.
Shut up, Hasselbeck.
And then if they're sitting next to you...
Blah, 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 blah. She's a good thing for one thing.
She doesn't like...
She'd be a good receptacle.
Potatoes.
She'd be too cold.
For my number three.
That's where you get frostbite.
I'd use her face like an ashtray.
I've seen it where they have husbands and wives together.
And my penis would be the cigar.
A couple years ago in California, in Los Angeles, where a big star's wife was seated, all the women were seated next to the husbands. So the husbands, again, were leaning over their wives to talk to the other men.
Yes,
and
right.
I said, why do you all...
Now they're just chatting like they do. It picks up again in a second.
Okay.
On YouTube... You've got to put Rosie in as the keyword.
All right.
And it comes up as Rosie and Barbara argue about being rich.
Did he get a cop a feel, at least,
with
the guy with the
drama?
Is that
Behar? Yeah. Cows on parade.
Dinner.
Okay, now we're going to get back to the party.
Here come the letters. You better get ready.
Is that a guy?
I'm sorry.
Rosie goes into that voice so often.
I went to dinner with Meg Ryan, who I haven't seen in a while, because, you know, we did that.
Is she a rich person or a poor person?
She's a rich person. Well, she's a rich person, she's but rich she's person. Not a rich person like Barbara's friends. Like,
ooh.
Oh!
Oh.
Oh. Party, like she threw me my party for Parker Shower.
Oh my God! Oh, then she won't let it go. You're right. And then she goes further with it.
And when they all get going, guys, really. Isn't that why they're only good for one thing? I mean, are you like me when you hear those four hens cackling together and you can't...
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not like this show where you hear four distinctive male voices speaking in harmony, like a barbershop quartet coming through.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Yes, that's exactly what it is, Mike.
This is amazing.
Hello.
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 That's music. This is freaking noise.
They're going crazy. Well, Barbara is trying, obviously, to defend herself in this, and Rosie is really, it really is nasty to do that, because you know, it, in the public's eye, when you're doing anything in a public forum, and you talk about being well off, or you talk about being at a rich person's party, you can talk about it because you're going to do the name dropping, but if you identify the fact that you're at a rich person's party, you know that's going to diminish you in the public's eye.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Rosie's trying to do here.
Let me see. I don't know if we're going to have time for this. I know there's one point where Barbara Walters, during this argument, says, I don't have Picassos hanging on my wall. And as it turns out, she does.
She has a Picasso?
Yeah, she bought a lot of them through people in the Guggenheim, not only art museum,
right,
York, but
right.
Through a lady named Barbara Guggenheim. And apparently she has seven.
She has Picassos.
And also...
Well, that speaks to maybe the fact that she's been lying.
And Miro's, M-I-R-O-S, is that
right.
Another famous
Miro.
Painter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Moreau?
Right.
Moreau. Thank you, Buzz.
Certainly.
Anyway, she says she doesn't have Picassos or Moreau's, but she does.
Wow.
Now let's hear a little more.
Okay.
Just a text.
There's not place settings, and, you know...
I go to parties where there aren't place settings, but there are big parties where there aren't place settings.
No, but can I just say something?
Yes.
The president of Czechoslovakia,
yeah.
He probably has less money than Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't got that much money. It's not about money. It's
yeah.
About his position.
I think you're right.
But
that's
what I just meant
right.
Is she's more
right.
Sort of, you know, normal, let's go to the mall.
My friends,
right.
Normal, and let's go to the mall.
Well, let's stretch again. Let's do
not like you, Barbara.
I'm kidding.
Meg Ryan is normal rich, not like you, Barbara.
And Henry Kissinger, that's not normal.
You have to remember the kind of, you know, the these are people I've known through my work.
No, I know what it is with your people, Barbara. Let me tell them.
Oh, my God.
Wow, now they're all turning on.
Flag on the play. Go.
Again, no one ever talked about being at
Hasselbeck.
Is normal, except for like...
Now, wait a second. I've been to her house for dinner.
Hasselbeck is a little mixed.
Yes. And they are not all the way you think they are. She's had Nora Ephron, who's a very regular and a lot of fun.
Yes. I have girlfriends. We serve macaroni. I almost always serve.
You have birthdays.
I'm sure you serve macaroni, you rich bitch.
I take it back. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying for me, it's like a new culture of experience. Like, honestly, the first really ritzy apartment that I've been in my life.
Oh, here we go.
One of those sort of, it was fantastic, all this real works of art
what
on the wall.
What a bunch of crap.
What's that
band? She is shooting Rosie the rock.
Right there, where
wow.
She says, when Rosie O'Donnell says, but really, you have a nice place. It's the first nice place I've ever been in. The camera's on Barbara Walters, and she goes, It is nonverbal. Her eyes roll to the back
of
her skull.
She knows exactly what Rosie's doing. I can see where this was a fatal mistake by Rosie.
Yeah. Roll a little more.
Listen, I'm rich too. I'm coming to it. I'm rich. I'm saying it.
Okay, fine.
Barbara Walters just staring her down.
I do not have murals. I have a picture of hers. I have some very pretty paintings. I have a pretty apartment.
Why did this turn negative? We need Dr.
When you open your mouth, pal.
All I was saying is...
Walking skid marks.
People who have a lot of money arguing about who's poorer. I never said I was poor. Honey, I have more money than a human needs. I'm saying that right now. I really do. But I just think it's a very fascinating kind of culture. When you go into these apartments on Fifth Avenue and they're fantastic.
She won't stop it.
It's like a whole interest. Yeah. To me, it's like going to a museum.
Yeah, I would think if I went to a beautiful mansion on Star Island in Florida, I would feel very much the same.
It's the movie star house. Make no mistake. That is the house.
That one.
Me.
Oh, that's
you. You got to side with Barbara Walters. She's been at it a lot longer. Third one there.
Not use
the paper plate.
I have
I don't doubt that.
Well, I guess what's bothering me is there's a picture. picture of my being very elite.
No, no, that's not what I mean at all.
That's not the way I live.
Barbara, that's not what I'm saying.
You liar.
She hasn't said kumbaya, everybody.
Yeah, after... She did. Wow. She stirred that up, got exactly what she wanted.
Watch the whole thing on YouTube. Wow. Rosie and Barbara arguing.
I'd like to
about
see the look.
Rich.
I really would like to see the look.
That one look that Barbara shoots.
Right.
Yep. And the thing is, you're looking at this and you're wondering, what the frig is really going on? This is more than just a made-for-TV feud with Donald Trump. There's been something going on with Barbara Walters and Rosie O'Donnell for a while.
I think so.
And then there's more stuff if you bother to read the trade rag variety. As I mentioned, there's a story in there today that says ABC is thrilled with the ratings, and they've told Barbara Walters, if you don't like it, take a hike.
Wow.
At least from The View.
So the network might very well be backing Rosie in this fight?
The numbers are better.
Wow.
The numbers are better right now.
I'm just glad Madonna has weighed in.
It was pretty good.
How often does Barbara come on The View? Is it like twice a week?
Or? Something like that. And it's a schedule I wanted.
Yeah.
But Barbara owns part of The View, correct?
Right. She owns all of it.
She's the executive producer.
Right. It's her intellectual property, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
And about Madonna. Madonna's making the rounds today.
Right.
She was on Good Morning America, on the Today Show, on the Regis and Kelly
Show. And she is still a friend of Rosie O'Donnell's, right?
She is, and she was on The View. Which one of these shows did she use her fake British accent on? Is it on The View?
Yeah, no, this is her commenting on Rosie, and it's pretty British.
All right, here's Madonna. Rob, this is kind of British. I agree. I don't know which cut it was, but Madonna really worked up the British accent for TV.
And we are back with Madonna. We can't get enough of you. I want to ask you what's on your mind these days, but before I do that, how are the kids? The last time I saw you, it was actually Halloween.
Who is that, Vieira?
That's Vieira.
Vieira.
Me. That was the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. And you were just starting the adoption process.
No. I wasn't just starting the adoption process. That was.
Well, David was back with you.
I was just starting to adjust to having three children versus two.
I don't think she
versus two.
There.
It's real subtle, but it's there.
Yeah.
And how is that?
Amazing. Amazing. We went on our first holiday together over Christmas.
Where'd you guys go?
I'm not telling.
Oh, okay.
Hot,
not
cold.
Telling.
Very hot.
Very hot.
Yeah, we all got to run around in our bare feet and ride bikes in our bare feet, and it was lovely.
Is it easy?
All right. Where she says it was lovely. That
hello, Madonna Ciccone.
It was lovely.
I'm Madonna Ciccone.
It was lovely. Vogue.
And one of the most wonderfully manufactured TV moments in recent history. She was late to the Today Show. So at about 8:15, all of the Today Show people were on the street waiting for her to arrive.
Oh, all right.
And so we got to see all the Tahoes and Escalades pull up, and Madonna walk into the Today Show.
Hallelujah.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Madonna.
Oh, and we got a break. I did promise that we would get to Barbaro.
Mm-hmm.
Not good news. Here it is, the story right here from the newspaper.
Oh, no.
Doctors are pulling up all the stops to save Barbaro.
Oh, man.
Every time the outlook was grim for Barbaro, the Kentucky Derby winner pulled through like a champ. He may not do it this time.
Oh, God.
Setback for Barbaro. Laminitis.
No.
I thought that was some kind of foot, like, jock itch thing.
You need to tenactin. Tough actin, tenactin.
But it's a fatal disease in his foot. It has nothing to do with athletes.
Yeah, he's got a bad foot. Oh, no.
Well, fortunately, we've got a line going to...
The stable, I
Lexington,
think,
Kentucky. Uh-huh. No.
Is that where Barbaro is now?
Elkton,
Lexington,
Maryland. No. Hold on.
Where is it?
I think he's at Arlington Hospital.
Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. Mike.
That's where Barbaro's recuperating?
That's where we have the line going.
Really, I don't think you will hear an exclusive interview with the horse on any other show.
We're going to get out our horse-o-phone.
Very good.
We'll, I don't know.
Our horse communication device.
I'm trying to... What's another
one? Our horseometer.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
Our horseometer, and it's going to be better audio this time, because I understand that Barbaro is back in his stall.
So we'll talk to Barbaro.
Very good.
About his bad leg.
Good stuff.
When we come back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. It's your buddy Don. Say, where were you on November 13th? We're off the air again. We're not really sure what's going on. We didn't run away. We didn't leave. But it's effed up again. Here's my buddy Mike to tell you more on the one phone that we're allowed to share. Hi, Mike. Hi. Hi, Don. As we sit here in our studios in fabulous Rockville, Maryland, an engineer is currently scrambling in the back of a huge console filled with equipment to try to figure out exactly what's going on. And we're really confused, just like our listeners are right now. But we're standing by here in Rockville with just a few moments left in the show. And I believe, Don, they're going to play one of those wonderful best-of segments that people have grown to know and love. And that's what's going to be coming up soon. Isn't that right, Don?
Right, Mike. Hey, hi, friends. We're not mad. We're not walking out. Once again, there's been a problem with the studios. We really don't know what happened, and we don't know how long we were off the air. Just at some point, they came in and said, you've been off the air for about 5 minutes, and we've gone to commercials. So please tune in tomorrow. I really hope that the studio is fixed. This is not a stunt. We are not walking out. Everything is great. I'm really sad we missed that meeting today, Mike.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don. Oh, Don wants to say one more thing. That's unusual. Here he is.
I think anyone who has any questions about what's going on with the equipment should call Michael Hughes on the WJFK radio business line. Now here again is Mike.
And as I was just about to say, stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment segment, The Best of Don. Wait a minute, he's going to say, we're very sorry. This sucks, we're very upset, we're very sorry that this happened. But we're not so upset that we're going anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow with another brand new show. So stand by, yeah, no, we will. He said maybe, but he doesn't mean that. We hope, yes.
Not from our standpoint. It just, really, this place is falling apart around us.
So we will be back tomorrow, and stay tuned for The Best of Don and Mike. Thank you very much, and we appreciate your patience.
Today, I had this thrill of going to the dentist. Now, you guys all go to one dentist,
mm-hmm.
And
it's Dr. Dana.
And Mike has mentioned this. He's a dentist. They like to play tricks on you when you guys get there.
Yes, and everybody that goes to that office has sex before they leave.
That's right.
It's an amazing dentist's office. It is the most sexually charged environment that you will ever find. It's phenomenal.
I wish I could say it was the same at my place.
No?
But it's not. And I went in, they had called and sent me the card saying, you know, you're over 6 months. Please, come in.
Right.
So today is the day, and they call yesterday, and they leave the message on the machine like, you know, hi, it's Dr. Don't forget, do we have to call you back again? Don't forget.
Right.
Because I'm kind of famous for breaking these appointments.
Yeah.
So I show up today, and I think everything's great, because I just have the chick who kind of looks like Cloris Leachman in high anxiety.
Oh, my. Yeah. My, oh, my.
And I'm sure that, I've got to go back tomorrow, so I better be careful what I say.
She's not Cloris Leachman in the last picture show, right?
No, well, Mike, really, I mean, what Cloris Leachman reference are you going to...
That is a dated reference. Right,
you got to pull up and say, well, you know, no, she was hot when she was on the Mary Tyler Moore show. She was married to Lars.
No.
Topless in the last picture show.
Yeah,
topless in the last picture show.
Wow. Maybe.
That was a young... That's right. When, seriously, that movie is so old. When that movie was made, I believe Sybil Shepherd was a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah, like 18,
that's how,
I think.
That's how, it was made in the 1800s.
Yeah.
That's how old that movie
that
is.
Well,
before she was syphilis.
I got to go back. That's right. Syphilis. That was
But any time you mention Cloris Leachman, I know you're talking about a handsome individual.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she's the woman, and she wears actually the little, you know, the little dentist hat that the chicks can wear sometimes.
Right.
You know, they wear like those little, like, almost waitress hats.
Really?
Like a nurse cap almost?
Yeah, almost.
Like a nurse cap? Or is she wearing like the hairnet?
No, it's her wrap, though. I mean, like, they all the chicks, all of the, the attendants, they all dress differently.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
Some of them wear like what looks like doctor coats, but they have underneath, you know, whatever. You know, the dance skins, leather,
right.
Whatever, nothing.
Leather.
You know, she dresses like a professional. She's got this little white, like, pillbox thing on her head. And so I sit down, and she says, been a long...
I don't think they have those anymore. That's very cool.
I think it's more of a fashion statement with her. She also has, like...
She wear white hose?
Well, I got to go back tomorrow.
So yeah, I know.
She also has, like, the Catwoman glasses. But they're on a gold chain around her neck.
Right. Jesus. How old is this lady?
Mike, I think she's... she's 29.
No 20, kidding.
Must be.
1929, I believe. Yeah, she was born.
Is she like Joan Allen in Pleasantville or what?
No, God, you know what? I got to go back tomorrow. She's a lovely woman. She's about 50.
But is she wearing the nurse's hat?
Yes.
They don't wear those anymore.
You're allowed in the dentist's office. You're allowed to wear anything you want to wear.
But like a nurse's hat is like 1940.
Mike, not every time I go in, she has this outfit on. This is what she had on today.
She's dressed like in white.
She had on a lavender top underneath what appeared to be like a lab coat.
Okay.
And she had the glasses, the Catwoman glasses, on a thing around her neck. And
this is the receptionist?
No, this is the hygienist.
Oh, the hygienist. Okay. All right. There we go.
Why am I verifying this?
I somehow picture this woman at the front desk.
No. The girl at the front desk was nude. Nude.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that relax you at the dentist's office, or would it? Maybe it would excite you.
Not with today's choice. Again, real smart.
Yeah.
Say that to myself.
You're going back tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm using my outside voice, mm-hmm. like Caliendo says. not my inside voice, right. My outside voice. She says, open up, and I think she's just going to do all the stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it starts out beautifully. I mean, she's given me the whole, we haven't seen you here in so long, and I hope everything's okay. And then she starts just cleaning a little bit, and they get that camera going down there. And she says, I want to tell you something. And I always get my balls busted about flossing. She said, it is obvious that you are flossing. She's beautiful job. Look at this picture. So you know, you're looking at this thing, which to me still looks like the inside of a garbage can, the inside of my mouth. You know, anybody's mouth. You're at the dentist, yeah. And it's magnified.
Right.
And I said, oh. She said, no, it's looked much worse. She said, really great.
Fantastic.
Just let me check out these teeth, and the
right.
dentist will be in. And she said, just tell me if this hurts. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm golden.
Yeah.
Because she says, no cat, you know, everything's good.
A plus.
No cavity.
Everything's looking good on the surface.
Looking good.
Uh-huh.
You flossing, no need to bust my ball. She goes, she's got that pointy, sticky thing.
Yeah, right. Hook.
Right. Yeah. A hook.
Same thing she grinds the teeth with.
Right.
Same thing she scrapes the enamel off.
She goes right back to the corner, right corner. She's,
or the tartar, is right, that what it is? It's not enamel.
No, you want to keep that.
If you scrape the enamel off, there might be a little pain.
Yeah.
We're just going to scrape this.
She says, oh, I remember these teeth back here. She says, we've had a problem with these. She says, does this hurt? And she barely, just barely touches one part. I go, you know me, Mr. High Threshold of Pain. Yesterday, I was trying to make a point on the show about how I feel passionate about radio, and I really hit my hand on the console. I had lost my train of thought, and like I was lecturing about how passionate I am about what I'm doing. It's like, oh, hurt my finger. Ow! Screw what I'm saying. So, I mean, this hurt.
So you began to levitate when she hit the certain part of your tooth?
So wow. she goes, that, and I go... I give her one of these things, and she says, okay, you're going to see the doctor. Hold
no!
on.
Uh-oh.
So he comes in, I'm sitting down, and he is a good guy, been the family dentist for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Comes over, I'm laying in the chair, I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying this. He lays the guilt trip of guilt trips on me about having missed time at the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
He says... Because I just feel his hand on my shoulder,
uh-oh.
And he says, from behind me, you know, I'm just laying there waiting for him. That doesn't sound too clear. I'm just
right.
laying there waiting for him.
Spread eagles.
Like our dentist.
He comes and he goes, my condolences, we haven't spoken. I hope you got the note. I said, yeah. Thank you, because I've still got, like, those cotton swabs that
right,
rolled
right.
up things in your mouth. Yeah. He says, you know, it's been 10 months, almost 11 months since you were here. You came with Frieder together in June. You know, we've sent you notices to your home. We've sent them out. We really, you know, your teeth are important.
So he lays a little of the condolence
the
thing
matter,
on you, and then right into the guilt trip.
No matter, and I'm not exaggerating on the stellar impression.
Mm-hmm. All right. You seem to have neglected your regular appointment.
It's very important you come in. Now, I know that when Natalie was looking in your mouth, that we had a sensitive area. Now we know that this is an open wide. Tell me, does this? And I go, ah! He says, well, takes his gloves off.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm out of the woods. And he takes a little mask off and he goes, now he turns around and looks at me and goes, we've been through this before. This is the situation with these teeth.
So you've got a problem area.
Yeah, it's a tooth that, you know, he's wanted to fix for a long time. And he said, now look at this. This is now impacted. Yeah, we're going to have to take an x-ray, but I'll tell you right now, this is impacted. And what we're probably going to have to do is finally go with, you know, give you the implant. We're just going to have, there's the root there. You're going to be in a tremendous amount of pain. I said, what are we, okay, what are we going to do? And here's what he said. Well, we're going to take a picture, and then we're going to remove the tooth. I said,
so it's tooth pulling time. We're going to take a piece of string, tie it to the base of your tooth, tie the other end to a doorknob.
I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I like having all of them. He said, we've discussed this before. This is a bad tooth.
We're going to adjust your smile by removing a few of the teeth. We're going for the Bucky Covington look.
So he says, and he's right. You know, he had told me, like, I don't know, 5 years ago or something.
Have you experienced any pain on that without the hook being, you've never, like, chewed any foil or anything like that?
No, I haven't. So I'm sitting there thinking that I'm going to get, like, the clean bill of health, and the next thing I know, it's like, do you want us to put you to sleep, or do you want just the local? And
it's time for an extraction.
And the Novocaine. Wow. And I said, well, just give me the local and the Novocaine. And fascinating. Never had it done like that.
Right.
You know, he just comes in and it's just like, okay, here we go. And they do it like a real operation, even though he's like in the room 3 minutes. And it's like, yank, pulls it out and his blood, he's like, you might not want to look. You know?
Did you get a look? Did you take a look? Did you take a picture?
G-R-O-double-S.
You see the root and all?
Yeah.
Did you save it?
No, I didn't save it, Mike. I didn't save it.
We could have made money with that.
I know.
Do you think he still has it?
I imagine they probably have already
medical waste thing.
They don't subscribe to such nonsense. They just open up the window and flick it right out the window.
It's off to the jewelry factory.
That's it. That's right. So then I'm sitting there and I say, "Great, what are we going to do now?" And he said, "Well, I guess I'll see you tomorrow."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's the nightmare. I'm like, what's tomorrow? He says, well, unless you want to walk around with a giant hole in your mouth, that eventually will probably start hurting. Mm. We should really do what I said, 18 months ago.
Right.
So now, yes, I am among you, the toothless, the great unwashed. Mm-hmm. Right there.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is. See that?
You didn't
get that. Are you got any cotton in there or anything like that? Not now. I got cotton. I had cotton. Mm.
All clotted up?
Yeah. All done.
And you can't suck.
Mm.
Hey.
Well, because if you suck, it'll start bleeding again.
That's the problem, Mike. I really suck. I mean, I'm not bad as a human being. Mm-hmm. I suck. I understand what you're saying. Not just suck on.
So it's a little sore?
No. You know, and I would tell you, Christ, I got the lowest threshold for pain.
Right.
You know, and
so tomorrow he's going to screw in a replacement. It'll be like a light bulb.
Tomorrow is the day. Fascinating radio. Bear with me for one moment on this.
Right.
Tomorrow's the day that he's just going to put in whatever the bottom part bridge is. And then on Saturday.
The anchor.
On Saturday I have to go in when I will not have to speak. You know, when he's concerned if I have something done, because I'm such a pussy that I would say, oh, my mouth hurts, I can't talk. So
he'll do the whole thing for you then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were totally caught by surprise. You didn't think you were going to have this situation. Now, how long has this tooth been a problem child?
I don't know, 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know.
You got like maybe a crack in the filling or something.
Yeah,
like
that's how it started.
Yeah.
You know, and then every time he would say to me, don't you want, he would say that it's okay, but, there's nothing wrong with it, but don't you ever want to, take care of it? It's nobody ever
sees.
You
ever think that it's a big scam with dentists, like your guy, our guy, Dana, that maybe they, they put the crack in there when they get you in there, so when you come back and then they inject a little pain juice into it.
They actually damage people's teeth.
Yeah, they damage. Just like, hey, if mechanics can do it to a car.
I don't think a dentist.
I don't think so. I think that's,
it's always something.
That's just on me.
That might be us.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
I was just going to say, Dad, what the hell's wrong with you? I mean, that tooth would have made a great door prize at O'Mara's tomorrow.
Maybe I'll get one of the x-rays tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
One of the bloody x-rays.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Bring them with me.
Or just your blood, if there's any blood in your procedure at all. Just say, would you please save the bloody gauze?
And give it to someone wearing a vial around their neck, like Billy Bob Thornton. All right, get out of here.
Bye!
Get out of here, guitar. There was one more important call that I had to make on the topic of going to the dentist today.
Joe.
Hello?
Hello, Joe.
Howdy.
Guess what?
What?
I know they're low on your scale of street of what you can get on the street.
Right.
But I have 4 Tylenol with coatings.
Nice.
Sweet, huh? Yeah.
Those will go well with your vodkas.
Not taking them yet, Joe.
Oh, that's right. You want to save them until you get home.
Well, I'll save them until
so there's no interest on your part, Joe?
Save them until I need them. How much would you pay me for them?
Oh, can't give those away.
Yeah.
They sell them in Canada. You can get sent to your mailbox.
Joe, when I had my Percocet...
You can't give those away. Well, I've got to call the doctor. I got to call the dentist.
Yeah, you got to get upgraded.
Well, what would be a legitimate upgrade, like a next step up, Joe, that might be a little better?
Well, just go top shelf, OxyContin.
But, Joe, I just had a tooth pulled. I mean, and really, I'm not in pain. I've not even taken one.
That's nothing to do with pain.
Joe, when I had my Percocet, you told me that I should let it dissolve under my tongue. What was that about?
Oh, yeah. Go straight to your head.
And, like, put it under your tongue and drink a beer? That was your advice?
Mm-hmm.
It was funny because the pharmacist didn't put that sticker on the bottle.
You crack it and let it melt under your tongue, go straight to your head. It pretty much destroys the time release of it. Just goes straight to your head.
Welcome to Dr. Joe Ardinger.
It destroys the time release.
Goes straight to your head.
Why take a narcotic that's designed to slowly enter your bloodstream when you can get it all at once?
Exactly.
Sure. Right. Well, Mike, that's why they invented, like, Jägermeister bombs.
Sure, exactly. So, kaboom, it can happen right away.
Right away.
Right.
Don, take all four of them, drink a vodka, and turn on your Xbox.
All right, so
get ready to rock.
So, in your opinion, what I received today was worthless. There's no street value at all.
Nah.
You wouldn't pay me $5 each for them? No. Look at Buzz shaking at me I'm some kind of idiot.
$5 a pill.
I guess they can get these easily.
All right. See you, boys.
Good day.
Good day to you, sir.
All right. Take care, Tuesday's child.
But don't forget, we're right on the cusp.
That's right.
Of his most energetic day of the week.
Wednesday.
He's Wednesday. Not affected by the previous or the upcoming weekend.
Joe's big day. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don, Mike, Buzz, my buddy.
Hi. Hello, hello, hello. Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you were talking earlier about Cloris Leachman and the high anxiety. She played Nurse Diesel.
Those
who are tardy do not get fruit cup.
That's right.
It's a pretty bra.
That's a great movie.
I'll let you wear my underwear.
There's Diesel.
That's a great one.
And she had the Madonna boobs before Madonna ever thought of having those.
And it wasn't Harvey Korman, the doctor?
Yes, Harvey Korman.
And they go in the first time they go in the room and they shut the door behind them and she like grabs him and pushes those big boobs into him.
And did she have a closet with all sorts of S&M stuff?
Yeah. He was screaming, and Mel Brooks heard him and comes running down the hall, and she says something like, "It was nothing. It was nothing. It was the TV."
You know, you're right. In that movie, she does have this thing going, doesn't she?
I am Nurse Diesel.
Yes.
You suffer from high anxiety. High anxiety. You win. All right, get out of here.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Get out of here. Goodbye.
It's a funny little call right there.
Sure was.
We got a break so that we have plenty of time later in the show.
And it's a good idea. Nurse Diesel.
It's very close to half.
Not to be confused with Frau Bueller.
Brucker. That's right.
Frau Bueller. And she's in Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. It's Frankenstein. Yeah.
I must see Frau Bueller.
You know, and then when you get to thinking that Mel Brooks is just such a genius, I mean, you turn on that movie that was on one of the high-def channels. Life Stinks.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
He's a homeless guy with Madeline Kahn who, you know, for my money, you know, that's the way she looks all the time. Even when she's fixed up, she looks homeless and,
right.
And yuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
what?
She looks worse now.
She does.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Day by day.
Okay.
She looks much worse now, I believe.
Touche.
Yes. In her day, though, she was pretty. She had her moments.
Blazing Saddles.
She was damn funny.
As the Marlena Dietrich character.
That's right. Madeline Kahn.
When did she pass over?
She passed over a long time ago.
Like 91 or 2?
Was it 91?
Or did she pass under?
I only say passed over because somebody said that to me today.
Passed over. 106.5.